$20,000. Mayor advises many members of the public and council meetings not to identify the sessions of audio recordings published on the website. Can you hear or is it not working? Let's have a... it's not working, Jenny.
Nothing working today.
Adam, can you get to the side?
I can't hear.
I'm going to use the wireless of this way. President, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Archer, Councillor Bowen, Councillor Honour, Councillor Corr, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Campbell, General Manager, Deputy General Manager, apologies, no need for apologies, we're all here, that was great. 5, pecuniary interest declaration. In accordance with Regulation Act 7 of the last government being received in Regulation 2015, the Mayor requests councillors to indicate whether they or closest owners have or likely to have a pecuniary interest, any pecuniary or pecuniary investment or conflict of interest in any item on the agenda.
Item 1715 of the recording meeting regarding the Vista Centre and the FBOS machine. My wife is involved over there. I don't know if I have a conflict or not.
I'm happy to step out of the meeting.
I'm not sure how this works, but 17.10 is the Hatch application for a grant. I'm a chair of Hatch.
So maybe you would not have votes.
I'll fill it in.
I'm happy to be safer too, but
I do have something to speak to in regards to that.
Sorry, where are item with that?
1710.
Someone else had a
camera. My old iPad's frozen, but my iPad was stopped working. The Christian Marsh Gate, I guess I would be conflicted.
What item number is that?
16.4.
Yep. Thank you. And Councillor Bailey, you said?
Yeah, it was going to be club now. I'm on the committee and put into a grant.
What item number is that? And can you fix this audio for the did you get an item number for the dock? Does anybody know what item number that one is?
17.18.
So, okay, any other? 17.4,
was it? Okay.
Nice.
Do I have to go out now or sit in here or can I go out or what?
When? Now?
When that is.
It's to leave the room.
Yeah, it's usually we can get out, step out. That is the safest.
Yep.
Councillor Archer,
yes, I have 17.15. Which is Maine Wildfellow Game Management Plan. I'm on the Ministerial Game Advisory Council with regard to that, but I don't believe it's a conflict.
Okay, we'll put you down as pecuniary or?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, Councillor Archer, 17.15, Councillor Corr, 17.15.
I've got the right number there.
17.5.
17.15.
Yeah, 15 is the first percent.
CCS 17.15, just Maine and Wildfellow near Game.
17.45.
All right. What was yours again? 17.5, I believe. 17.15.
Oh, you've got 17.5.
Okay, cool. We've got Council 4, 17.5. Council Campbell, 17.10. 10, Council of Poland 1644, Council of Bailey 1718, I think I'm going to go to
Now, I'm not sure. 15.3 is a digital scoreboard for the football ground. I'm the chair of the committee. And I'm also chair of the Central Visitor Centre for the FPOS machine.
That's the council committee.
Yep.
So we'll find the council committee.
Right. And I'm on the Hatch Committee one as well.
I didn't see why anyone would have a feeling if you say the FPOS machine, you're not getting any money or any fees, so it's really just the management of it, if you give us a requirement, I guess the original would be good.
Yep, no, yep. That's fine.
What about the Hatch?
I'm a council rep on it, that's all.
I don't think that would be a problem, would it? Adam? The Hatch. Council honours a council rep on the Hatch.
Yeah, Council honours would be retaining any computer interest, it would be the interest of the municipality that Council honours and their knowledge would be good to know.
No, that's fine.
What about me as the chair of Hatch?
There's about 20 on the list.
what you want, right?
You have your list of priorities and your number one, two, or three, four on the list.
And if you could send them all back to version one, that's what I have to do with the three percent.
Councillor Ford.
I responded to that. I did not put a list in because I don't think that that's the way to go. I think that what we should do is, I understand that Councillor Stark is going to be pushed to do it, but if we've got 34 items there that we feel we could possibly get grants for, there are going to be certain grants that become available that we can apply for different projects. If we prioritise, we could prioritise the wrong projects and not comply with the
What about prioritising for council funds?
Yeah, I don't want to see our funds run down. I'm very close to speaking more of the funds we've wasted, in my opinion. $3 million in the last 2 years for council, accumulated funding. Every dollar that we spent out of those accumulated funds could be matched dollar for dollar, or two for two, or two for three. So every time we spend those funds, in my view, we're making a mistake on behalf of the community, so I don't want to see any more of the council funding spent on those projects unless we can get significant lead on from them. You know, if council's only got, let's say, $10 million in the kitty, then that $10 million could be geared to be worth 30 or 40 or 50 if we get other contributions. But if you just spend the 10 mil, she's gone. You can only spend it once.
Well, I think we still need to have the list of priorities in, just to, if for no other reason, it gives us a starting point to look at. I mean, it should be discussed. You know, we went through the effort to make a list of priorities, so I think we should at least do something about it. And also, the Auditor General, you know, who council meeting or so ago, that's what I was communicating with the CEO of Elgin about. Well, it was about trying to find out about, because I've asked Lynn, I asked David, you know, like what cash balance would be appropriate, because the Auditor General hasn't found out the Auditor General's report that Elgin pointed to, because they didn't have the information. And I suggested that, you know, there's a couple of councils, and we're one of them, maybe high up on the list there, but they feel they have too much money in a cash reserve that it's not necessary to have that much. So I was trying to come up with some kind of compromise, like how much should we have in there. And, like David, when I spoke with David, he was sitting around on the order of about $6 million. And so the calculations that I was doing and so forth with the Auditor General's report and the other stuff that I was researching, count for about the same thing, 6.5. Now I take Anthony's point that if we run that money down, it takes years to build millions upon millions of dollars back up because we're not collecting sufficient rates. But at the same time, there's probably things that we need to do here within Central Highlands, infrastructure-wise, upgrades to some of our buildings that we're just not getting done. So I think that let's at least start with this list of priorities. If we get them back into Lynn, she can juggle the numbers and so forth and then come up with one sheet and then we can have a workshop on it and let's just talk about that one.
Probably Lynn? One of the good things about having a reasonable cash balance is that, for instance, Film Road, that is going to cost
heaps.
Up to $1 million probably to fix. It is a big issue.
All right.
So, there's no guarantee we're going to get reimbursed from any source for that. So, we've got the money there to do that.
I've got a list here. It's from Julie, but Hamilton River is best done, isn't it? So,
that's
the government actually needs to be on the priorities because it's happening now.
It could happen.
It's still not.
Graham's still arguing with it, isn't he? Is Graham still arguing with it, the heritage people, about what we're allowed to do?
They were around through the week, last week.
Oh, so it's still ongoing?
It's still ongoing.
Imagine being in Graham's shoes, must be driving him mad.
Helmingi, there's alterations to the design, and your $100,000 doesn't really go to water, it's kind of go to water, it's another lot. Anyway, so that's, we'll determine a date at the December meeting there.
We'll determine a date at the December meeting. Do not forget the meeting is early. So that goes into the mayoral announcements. The council meeting will be on the 7th of December.
Starting at 8:45 with the annual general meeting.
Oh,
8:45, annual general meeting. So please remember to put that date in. That's important.
That's possible.
Also, to be mindful of the borders opening on the 15th of December. I was talking in a break with Councillor Archer about that. Do you want to comment on that, Councillor Archer?
Oh, just me ended up the experience with my mother recently, where she had a couple of health incidences. The second time she had a stroke a few weeks ago, and when it was a Thursday, and the ambulance was called. The ambulance couldn't have been better. Picked up from the home. They tried to get her into Calvary and Hobart Private. She's got full health cover. They would not accept her unless she had two things. One of them, she needed to be able to walk or ambulatory ability, and she needed to have her marbles. And because of the stroke, she was a bit disoriented. No, neither would take her. She's an elderly lady. They would not take her under any circumstances with either of those two conditions. Can I suggest that would be normal for a lot of patients? So a large number of people have been excluded from going to those two hospitals on those grounds. They got her into Royal at about 5:00 at night. Again, the ambulance staff stayed with her. She was ramped there for several hours, 8 or 9 at night, before they got her out of the corridors. She didn't get a bed until 10:00 the next morning on ward. And then they wanted her out as quickly as they could. And that's before COVID caused problems. In my own case, I'm really concerned for elderly people getting strokes, anyone who can't walk or is not lucid when they go into the hospital in terms of the level of care they will get. And it scared the heck out of me, you know. But the staff themselves, I'm not being critical of them, they couldn't have been better, but they just did not have the resources. The ambulance staff in particular were wonderful, so they stayed with us 6 or 7 hours. But I don't think we should be asking them to do that. But the Central Highlands community, where we've got a lot of old people, and we've got a lot of people who haven't been vaccinated, I'm feeling that as a district, we're very vulnerable to the opening of the borders. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it, but I do think provision needs to be made for our community when the borders are open. And should we, Lou suggested, and I think she may be right, perhaps write as a council and express our direct concern to the Premier.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We should address the health issue.
As people probably know, I'm on the Primary Health Tasmania Community Advisory Council. We had a meeting last week, and COVID was one of the main things that was discussed, along with the future of aged care, which is another relevant matter to us. But possibly in the time between this meeting and our next meeting, there may be some more information come through from Primary Health. But the initial plan from Primary Health Tasmania and working with the state and federal governments is that when our borders open up on the 15th, when COVID does arrive, a large proportion of our community will be vaccinated. Whether that's part of our community is debatable. But the goal for the government to look after people with COVID is to be cared for in your own home. You will not be hospitalised unless you're in ICU or critical. So that is hoping to keep pressure off the public hospital system. But I do think that our council, probably working with Bev, develop a plan so that maybe have maybe working with the doctors in the area and the health department in the area to remind people about the hand sanitising and wearing the masks and the social distancing. We can't keep going to lockdown, that's already been decided, but whether we have an awareness program and have some basic supports in the Central Highlands ready to go. Realistically, the main problem probably won't arrive until February, because it'll take a few few weeks, months for it all to build up. So I think maybe by December we can discuss a COVID plan for the Central Highlands.
So we could have two motions. One would be the one from Councillor Archer to write to government, Mayor write to government, voicing our concerns about the area.
Because we're vulnerable here and healthcare is being suggested is going to appear in the home. Man, the resources are getting very stretched, aren't they? You know, we're not all within Glenorchy or within a small suburb, but Maina, Great Lake, or Brady's Lake, a very sparse community of elderly people, many aren't vaccinated.
So would you like to word something for that motion?
Sure, yeah. But the Mayor write to the Premier expressing Council's grave concerns, and request that sufficient resources be made available with the opening of the borders to deal particularly with rural and remote areas.
That's what you're talking about, as in your Bible, isn't it?
Exactly.
So that was moved by Councillor Archer, second. Councillor Cassidy. Those for that motion? Is there any against the motion? That goes through. Now, the current plan, would you need a motion, I think, for that, Councillor Archer and Campbell?
Why don't we just see what evolves in the next couple of weeks prior to the next meeting, and I'm happy to chat to Bev, the health officer, and see what she thinks. It may be just an extension of, they've already developed a COVID plan, I think. There's a COVID plan, isn't there, Adam? Council has a COVID management plan.
Yes, you have a COVID management plan.
So it may just need to be reviewed and tweaked.
Can we have Bev come to the 7th of December meeting and give us a report? I think that'd be timely because the 15th of August is open. Perhaps she could make an effort.
If you might care, I'd say.
I think we could ask her, she lives at Ellendale. We could ask her to come along to the council meeting. I think that's fair. Because it's getting very close to the borders opening and we need her here to ask questions. So could we invite her? I think we invite her.
She's a councillor for you, is she not?
Exactly. So we'll invite Bev along to the 7th of December for a report and then she can be available for councillors' questions. Mm-hmm. I think that covers that pretty well. Thank you.
Just with regard to what Councillor Archer was saying about the concern with ramping and so on and so forth with the Hobart. If we write to the Mayor, to the Premier, and ask him to allow us as residents of Central Island or any other rural areas to have facilities available to us, I can't see how that's going to work because they're not just going to hold a couple of beds and say, well, they're the people from the Central Islands. I can't see how it physically is going to work.
I can see, I envisage that their support to the Central Highlands will be to provide us with more face masks and hand sanitizer. The care in the home is going to be based around if you're diagnosed with COVID and you're well enough to be at home, you will be given a pulse oximeter that is monitored online with your phone. And I guess if those people aren't able to be monitored, then they'll look at it. But it's going to be a case by case scenario from what we could gather at the meeting last week.
That's all very well, I understand that. But I mean, if you have somebody who has a stroke or something like that, if the hospital is stretched that tight that they don't have the facilities, what's going to happen to people from rural areas? I mean, I just can't see that the Premier has an answer to it.
They won't have an answer to it, no.
Well, there's answers, but they all cost money. You know, let's say, for example, like ramping up a new Norfolk hospital, ramping up the multi-purpose medical center up there in Oakland, they all cost lots of money that the government doesn't want to commit. There's other problems that we have here, like at the hospitals of LGH and the Royal. You've got patients that they just cannot get rid of because they have help requirements or issues that prevent them from being moved on. So they're almost like permanent residents there at those hospitals. And that's causing the bed block, and this has a domino effect all the way down to the ED and now into the ambulance. So the state is short of resources because they're not spending enough money on these resources, but also you cannot get sufficient doctors and nurses or paramedics. So it's a complex problem. It is a complex problem. But I think, you know, writing a letter will have some value.
It might just go through the minister's mind. The other thing, some councillors might be able to help me here with some information. There seems to be some type of filter that you can put on the air conditioners in all areas, like if you have them in public places, schools, etc. That, now I'm not sure if someone might have read it, blows some type of like a disinfectant that kills COVID. Has anyone heard of that?
Yeah,
I'm not totally correct.
It's actually a light. It's an ultraviolet type of light that you might see like in the processing in our facility.
So how does it work?
Well, that particular UV, I think it's UVC or something like that, it actually kills the COVID.
That's a question.
Yeah. I'm just curious if anyone...
There was a story on TV the other day. A child care centre in Sydney has installed these filters. They are available, but they are very expensive.
It would be good if the government looked at one, putting them in all public places and schools, etc. And council
buildings.
And council buildings.
And council buildings. So we'll keep that one in mind and try and find out if we can make us better to do some information on that one. Now bring back on the 7th. Okay. Alrighty. So we'll move on to the minutes. May I have a
Can I move to the day and we go straight to item 15? We've got 20 minutes to get into the second one.
Would you like to do that, Damien?
I'm not new, man.
Okay, well, could I
have a go back to the others later?
Yeah.
So, Councillor Rodham moved, Councillor Bailey second, that we move to agenda item
15.
15?
15.1.
Sorry?
15.1.
Okay, that would be good. Welcome, Damien.
Thank you,
ma'am. Okay, this is the draft Central Highlands Local Provision Schedule Public Exhibition Assessment of Representations under Section 35 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. And we have our planning consultant, Damien. Damien, would you like to speak into that a little bit?
Thank you, Mayor. First point I want to make is that it has been a bit of a rush to get the assessments done following the close of the 60-day period, so we've only really had a small number of days to get the assessment table done for the committee meeting that we had last week, but then only sort of 24 hours after that to sort of turn that into a council report. And the actual official report from council to the Tasmanian Planning Commission has to be fleshed out a bit more, or a fair bit more probably, than what's in the table at the moment. So in the purpose statement there of this report, I'll just flag that it's intended to go forward from today to whatever council decides today to actually create the actual more fleshed out report that would actually be sent to the commission and just hopefully get that through the December meeting without a great deal of using up time of that December meeting. Yes, I did see that this morning. I didn't check my council meeting this morning. I was busy giving up things yesterday and so on. So I will talk to that. The other thing I'll mention is that if you go to the recommendation, so in regard to those proposed landscape protection areas, I've used the phrase agree to explore the establishment in regard to those, potentially pursuant to section 35KB of the Act. So, as I may have not well explained at the committee meeting last week, this section 35KB of the Act was put in there to enable the Planning Commission, when it's going through assessing all these reports from councils in regard to their draft local provision schedule, when they come across a matter that is quite a significant change that is proposed, the system recognises that the Commission just can't agree to that, because a significant change to what was advertised, you know, will affect people's land and the planning rules and laws that apply to people's land. So the system says we can't, the Commission just can't make that change without going through a whole, basically, a planning scheme amendment process, where it's advertised for public comment and it's sort of put out there in a much more considered way for the public to comment on. And so what they did, they made this amendment to the Act not long ago to enable the Commission to say, well, we will finalise the local provision schedule without this significant change in it, but we will direct that this planning scheme amendment process follows straight on. It's like an addendum to the plan, to the local provision schedule creation process. They direct that certain things be subject to basically really full plan scheme amendment process, but they direct that they happen straight up after and following on and sort of tag onto the creation of the local provision schedule. So that, that's why I've said explore the establishment of, because in that process, I mean, that these proposed landscape protection areas are quite significant changes. And, you know, council and the commission and everyone would certainly want to know what the thoughts are of the landowners and the community generally about those. So, my report to the December council meeting will articulate the actual process of this section 35KB a bit more. Because if you think about it, when there's a normal planning scheme amendment process, council may initiate the amendment as and certify it as suitable for public exhibition, and then it goes over there for public exhibition, and then council gets to see what the community think about it, what the potentially impacted landowners think about it, and then council makes a final decision before it all goes off to the planning commission. So I don't think council can today, or even at the December, they can say we agree that these lands out there should go in, because we haven't gone through that process that you would normally go through of a planning scheme amendment process, where the landowners and the community generally are exposed to it, given a chance to have their say about it, and council has a proper consideration of it. Because this process is a little bit rushed. You know, we only have 60 days to get our views into the planning commission on all these submissions, so that's why I've chosen those words quite carefully, that we just agree to explore these things, potentially further.
Can I ask a question? You two different phrases, scenic road corridor. And scenic protection area. So I'm assuming they're both the same.
Yes, they're the same. Under the Landscape Protection Code, there are two beasts within that that you can have. One is a scenic protection area, which is intended to apply to a broad area, and the other one are the scenic road corridor areas, which are there to sort of just be several hundred metres, say, on either side of a major highway. And they already exist in quite a few plans. So most of the Billings Highway or the Tasman Highway have 100 or 200 metres either side in what are the equivalent of a scenic road corridor. They might have been called different things under the old schemes, but it's really just the immediate area on either side of the road or the major highway that's captured, whereas the first mechanism captures a much larger
So are you able to explore the downsides of all this as well?
Yeah, well,
I wouldn't like council to consider a road protection or a scenic corridor if for example, Lake wants to cut a couple of trees and put in a pivot and the council rules over that.
Well, I can push that out a bit more.
Yeah, because that could have significant implications to the broadacre farmers.
Yeah. I'll push it out a bit more, but I suspect what it's going to come down is to what we actually write into it in our particular
scene protection area, or scene, we can prescribe what it sounds like. I believe so, but I'll look with
more information on that.
Because people tend to like things as they are, but the municipality of the area and the economy moves to different technology, and we've got to.
And I guess that's another reason why council can't today or December say they agree with these areas or not. Yeah. Because there's been no really drafting made of a proposed area with a whole set of values and things are important.
Yeah, and who decides, who defines what a scenic area is?
Well, that would be, in the first instance, council drawing a line on a map and saying, we propose this, and putting it into either a
But who decides, who defines what a scenic area should look like?
Well,
as against what it is now?
Well, normally, that would be the provisions that would come down to what council thinks, and based on some sort of expert advice. So the first question is more of a political question, a policy question: do we want to create such a thing? Then the second question is, okay, what would this look like? And that's where experts
expert guidance.
DS manager, welcome. If you'd like to come up the table, we move to 15.1 for staying in here. And Councillor Cassidy, you have a question for Damien?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just bouncing off of Jim's point there about the Santa Road corridor. I understand, I can certainly accept that we would not want to impact on business or enterprise such as a foot irrigator or something like that. I mean, you can see them along the Hollow Tree Road. They're not unsightly. But what's unsightly that should be protected, and I think that you'll agree, is if you drive up the Lyle Highway, and that's within our municipality, you'll see trees that have been felled right up to the roadside and just laying there in a pile. And it's been that way for years. And it's fairly unsightly. So I think that we should have something that would protect what we find attractive about living here in the Central Highlands Municipality. So I say let's just let it go through the process.
Councillor Campbell.
I thank you, Damien, for explaining the whole process and what it would involve. And I know the submissions have closed, but what worries me is that there's been two areas been recommended by submissions, and there may then be other people that say, oh, but that area should have been recommended for a corridor. I think it's going to open a bit of a minefield. So I guess we just have to, explore it and see where it lands, I guess.
There are three, but the fact that those submissions specifically talk about those two specific areas announced in the kind of statutory provision schedule creation process. The Planning Commission, if it did see that both of these should be explored further under Section 3.5KB through the amendment process, it would only be restricted to those two areas. Of course, that doesn't stop anyone at any time writing to council and requesting
another one.
Yeah. Same as any planning scheme amendment, I suppose, that someone might request or formally submit to council.
Councillor Fluoride and then go.
Damien, six one.
What is that?
Can that be used to get a new amended Medibank specific area plan?
Potentially, yes.
I think if
the Commission still hold a view that our changed.
And even the attenuation zone, after, like, he didn't like that, the Commissioner, did he?
One of the things is that so far we've spoken to a group of officers of the Commission, and they have been quarantined from a separate group of Commission officers who will now go through the statutory process. So we'll be talking to entirely different people. But we can continue to maintain that that attenuation area should be removed, and if the Commission then says, well, we think it's such a monumentally massive thing to remove that, that we at least be subject to a Section K review process, I suppose.
Yeah.
That can happen,
but
it seems like...
But a lot of the same sort of bureaucratic the same thing, but anyway, that's so. Is that a potential mechanism to go to get the area plan?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I did make myself another note down here that when we go through the hearings, this debate on whether title should be rural or agriculture zone, it's possible the commission might decide that they should be subject to a section 35 process as well, possibly.
Yeah. A big change.
Yeah.
I'd like to say I absolutely disagree with scenic corridors, for example, being mandatory, pushed upon people. There's multiple reasons why, say, some trees might be cut down near the road, because, for example, in the bushfires, the places that were safe where there were no trees next to the road, and other places were extremely dangerous. Trees fall over the fences, they're dangerous to cars. Some places you want to keep them, some places you don't, but you don't want to be dictated what you can do or whether you can put a pivot next to the road or things like that. It's, unless they want to pay for it, compensate people.
What's the difference of pile of trees that are sitting there all falling over or standing? What's the difference in fire?
But that's one, sir. That's just one example, and run on a wild log and we'll clean them up. I don't know.
There's a process. Let's just.
Well, this is the recommendation. You've got A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Could I have a. Sorry?
Talk to this proposed issue.
Before we add to the recommendation, yes? Yep.
Sorry, I was late coming in with the recommendations, but. With relation to E and F, which is the base of those urban boundaries, maybe able to expand them, I would like just to make a suggestion that instead of separating as being Bothwood and Ouse, is to one recommendation that it is the townships.
Yeah, I agree.
Townships are the separate
island. We discussed this, but Were you at the planning meeting?
No.
No, so it must be zero. We discussed this, but I think the discussion revolved around the fact that each one takes a bit of time, so we need a bit of, and a bit of money, so we need because we had submissions for Ouse and Bothwell, we start there, but it's really we need a budgetary allocation. I don't know, that was the discussion, we didn't sort of make anything.
Explore that a bit more.
But that's fine, all the towns need.
I do, and I strongly believe, probably, and the littlest one that stands out to me as much as being that urban bit is probably Greta would happen before anywhere else. And that's why I sort of, don't want to sort of segregate from here and there, because people might say, well, what about ours first? It was just the actual wording as in townships.
Yeah, so it made those two.
Yeah,
made
a comment to what I made. Yeah. Maybe we thought we'd start somewhere with Bob. They can be there.
So yeah. That's just my...
But we have specific representations around that. Yeah. So that's why
we have all landowners, but that's just...
Let's just move on.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think my major remark is that in the southern Midlands, we sort of pick off and shoot just one town at a time.
Yeah. Councillor Cassidy.
So, Brent, what you may not know, how this structured plan for Bothwell came up was there's a gentleman there in the town that's got a large plot of land that is subdivided into fairly large lots, but he wants to make smaller lots simply to, so he can build houses. So, but right now, our planning scheme doesn't allow for that, so we need to develop a structure plan. That was the, I think that's the process that we're, that's what we were thinking about doing,
okay.
To see if we could facilitate that, and then we maybe go to Ooze, Hamilton, or whatever order you think would be.
And I can leave that, Damien, with his professional approach to it, is to say, well, if you basically put it as one or two, and as even in the southern Midlands, that's fine, as long as it sort of doesn't stagnate, it seems to be basically just a couple of
areas. We should have a budgetary allocation to do that.
As I said, because this recommendation is to do with our submissions that we receive, and both of those two towns, Bothwell and Ooze, had submissions that led to the idea of structure plans there, but it's not stopped outside of this local revision schedule consideration process. The council will come up with a list of towns and maybe a priority of them. Maybe that needs to be something we need to flesh out a bit more. How much it would cost. I don't know that some business are just finishing one for Oakland. And when I was previously working full time in some business, we didn't want to campaign that. The Oakland one being very recent, we can, I can touch base there and find out how much that cost. And where they got, I'm sure they got some maintenance to pick up and to offset part of the costs, and where, which bucket that came out of. I know 10 years ago, we was doing the regional planning project on the Department of State Road, had a bucket of money for councils to do structure plans for towns. I think that's where the campaign away got some of the costs. We can make it subject to a separate report with some priorities there and get some monetary figures around it. I've seen the added the additional agenda item, and I think
item 41.
Yeah, so that there could be a GH, because of the removal of the local provisions to the local list of the heritage items, my understanding that Councillor Cassidy's motion or additional motion here is that to formalise the process of when, if Tasmanian Heritage Council wants to delist one of its registered places, as mentioned there, it must put a public notice out, a notice on the site, but it also must formally notify the local council to tell the council that it's proposing to remove a place. So I think what the intention of this motion is to, I guess, create a council policy that when such a notice is received by council, that it is formally called to the attention of council at a council meeting. I'm not sure that probably happens anyway, informally, right? Probably never had one. The other comment I would make is that we know that the Heritage Council have been systematically reviewing rural listings over the last 15 or so years and reducing their spatial extent. So one would think that having closely looked at quite a number of the rural properties at least and just decided that their spatial extent would be reduced, that they're not going to now turn around and decide that those ones should be removed, but they haven't looked at all of them, and I don't think they've looked at any of the ones in the town, so it wouldn't be out of question they might decide to remove some, one or two, who knows, but it probably would be good to have a formal policy that always may be subject to the council report if such a notice is received by council.
And that way, if I can, through the chair, and that way if that policy is in place, it can't slip through the cracks, that it does not come to the attention of the council.
So do you need a motion for that, or is that
I think it was the idea that we had created at number H here, the letter H.
On the recommendation.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, you were.
No, I just said thank you. That's all.
And we haven't had the 18.1 on the agenda. Who was moving that recommendation?
Oh, well, I can move it, but point H. So let's see if I've got this correct. But in the event of Tasmanian Heritage, what is it?
Intending?
Tasmanian Heritage intention to delist a property, council's going to be notified.
Oh, well, council, through the chair, council are notified. They have to be notified from Heritage Tas.
Yeah.
If there is. But the policy will be that it, the policy that it must be brought to a council meeting.
Oh, well, so the council's got to be notified at a council.
Not just left to a department to do with it.
So all the councils are all there. Yeah.
So that was moved by Councillor Laura and Councillor Cassidy second. Is that correct?
So what do we do about the town? Just leave reason?
Leave as is.
Well,
through the table, I don't want to hold things up and that type of thing, and all go with Damien to basically say what Southern Midlands are doing too, to just put that town in, and we can expand.
Yeah, I think
we just put it in the
for that. I think separate that up to a different council report and keep these just to the matters that are raised by the commissions. Yeah. This recommendation.
So, on Hollow Tree?
Hollow Tree.
Do you want the structure plan for Hollow Tree?
Mm-hmm. Hollow Tree.
And then we'll give Councillor Campbell an answer. You can just read that. I haven't got
it. That Council H adopt a policy that any notice received from the Tasmanian Heritage Council read an intention to do this a property be the subject of a report to Council.
Okay, Councillor
Campbell, then Archer. I've just got a query with the recommendation with A in agreeing to accept the late submissions. I'm a bit hesitant about that one. We have a deadline for submissions for everything. If we, you know, let those ones go through, it's going to set a precedent for other submissions in the future. But that's my opinion.
I contacted the commission about this last week, 2 weeks ago, and they said it's completely up to council.
Yeah.
But if council does accept the late submission, council needs to formally say that, so that it is part of the report back to the planning commission. So it's completely up to council.
Yeah. I think it was in
Harlem.
In light of all the submissions we've had, they seem to focus on some points in particular that are not really, I don't think, covered in terms of our approach. One of them is from particularly state government authorities. You know, you're talking about test water, talking about hydro, talking about DPIWE. My understanding is that the council is sticking to its original document, and this is simply extra substantiation of our document. Is that right?
The key thing is we have to have a view.
Yes. So we expressed a view earlier, and these are just amendments to our view or clarifications, but our original view was the same. For instance, where we discussed earlier that there would be a utility zone from Lake Crescent to Lake Sorrel, we had an objection from parts of Mile Up, which I think is nefarious at best. You know, the zone that they're talking about, which is a Ramsar site, was kilometres away. It just happens to be the same title. But you know, I can get a scientific view on that, that it will have no effect on the Ramsar size. And council's position was, and I imagine still is, that should be a utility zone. And I noticed you actually put that in some of the language. But do we need to be specific, do you think, in these points that we're up to HM now about those things where we have a different view to what's put forward in some of the submissions? And they are that utility zone. Council already has discussed that for Meadowbank, that it was a multiple user asset, that it wasn't just for recreation, it wasn't just for one purpose, and it's exactly the same in my view for the other lakes. President Sorrell, yes, recreation is part of it, but as a private trustee, I've got very strong views. The water should also be used for extractive use. We haven't spelled that out. We did in our earlier submissions, but I think we need to perhaps spell those things out if we're going to do it now, or do you believe it's coming?
No, this is where my first point is that there's a sort of rush to get it to the committee meeting last week and rush to get it onto the agenda for this week, and then the full report to the commission has to be fleshed out a fair bit. So where I've said things like maintain an already articulated view, council should do that.
Yes.
I will get those previous arguments that we've already come up with.
Exactly, and we should show that to the next meeting.
The important thing today and the last week is to make sure I know what the agreed direction of the council, yes or no.
Yes.
We stick to what we said before, or have we got a different view? So we were saying we stick to what we said before. You know, there'll be quite a lot more in the actual report we send to the commission.
That is what I was really looking for, that we don't need to articulate it all yet, because it'll be in what you prepared
The intention is I'll take the directions from today and flesh it out into a proper report, the actual one that will go to the commission, and get that through the December meeting.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if we're all on board with the same views still, it'll just sort of go through and just tick it off.
But in terms of other things that have come out of the 44 submissions, there seems to be just two or three things that we've been bombarded with. One of them is the rural zone for those areas in the Highlands.
Yeah.
And I think council has articulated that previously very well.
So a lot of information on the previous reports come paste into the report to the commission on that one and on the canal up there.
Yes, and so I'm concerned that we don't need to be too exhaustive in terms of these today, as long as we're staying exactly the same now as we've done in our previous deliberations.
Yeah. Where council has, where I've said, we maintain our view.
Yeah.
Then we'll flesh that out a lot more.
Yes. So where we've said all the area around the steps should not be zoned rural, we're not changing that because we haven't mentioned it. That's still our view.
We'll accept. Yeah. Subject to these points here.
Yes.
On the table.
So, I'll put the recommendation up. It was moved by Councillor Orr, second by Councillor Cassidy, and that is A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, and H. H would be an addition on to
it. Where Anita's talking about the late submissions, that we do note that we have accepted these notes. Damien's saying we need to acknowledge that we've allowed these few late submissions.
Yeah, it says it's really successful.
Yeah, so that's what A's all about. It's actually formally saying we've
done that.
I need to know if the council accepts them or not.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Those for the motion? Is there anyone against the motion? You're against it, Councillor Bowden?
Yeah, because there's some things that are okay and some things are not. Unfortunately, you can't vote for everything lumped in together.
Okay, Councillor Bowden is against. Anyone else against? Okay, that is carried.
Thank you,
Dan. Thank you, Dan. Now we share. And the 7th of December is the next meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
Just need some
time. Yes, not much time.
Not there to be.
I declare that I have some permission for the last day.
I mean, other things happen.
So, can I move back? Councillor Honour, second, Councillor Bailey, can move back to the agenda to 11.1, the series of draft minutes of the ordinary meeting. Held on the 19th of October 2021, be received. I have a moment here. Councillor Campbell, Councillor Honour, for against Harry. 11.42, confirmation of minutes, ordinary meeting open. Ordinary meeting on the Tuesday, the 19th, to be confirmed. Mayor, Councillor Honour. Seconder, Councillor Ford. For, against, carried. Receiving draft minutes of the swimming pool meeting.
Would I actually, would that be the attachments, Mayor, of the draft minutes?
Yeah.
What? I couldn't find it.
11.3, the supergraph minutes independent living unit meetings. Could I have a mover, please? Councillor Cassidy, second. Councillor Bailey. For, against, that is carried. The supergraph minutes swimming pool meeting. Mover, please. Councillor Cassidy. Second. Councillor Cassidy. For, against, that is carried. 11.5, the civil draft minutes planning committee meeting. Councillor Orr, second. Councillor Cassidy, four. Against, carried. 12, the assistance of Yolanda. 13, Dilly Catchment Project. Moving into that report, please. Councillor Honour, second. Councillor Four. Four, against, carried. Any comments on the Dilly Catchment report? Comments with the finance report. Mm. Very good. Okay. 15, the development and environmental services in accordance with regulation 25.1 on the local government meeting procedures regulation 2015. The mayor advises that the council intends to act as the planning authority under the land use planning and improvements act 1993 to deal with the following items. Move, please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy. And we've already had 15.1 Damien. And we'll go over to you, Graham.
Thank you, Mayor. 15.2 is the land sale of Ellendale. Have you got a bit to this, or is that going to be?
I've got a bit further in about the representation that we received, and then I advise that you put this bit in. So I've asked Cathy for maps and they've been attached on the and a copy of a letter written by the Bailey as Council Clerk of the Hamilton Council. And I'm getting a little bit confused because I was told that that block was the old waste transfer station site and an old landfill site. But when we look at the map, there's a block next to the block that we're going to sell that was an old waste transfer station site. And the old chip site's on the opposite side of the road. When you look at the lease document, the letter that it says portion of refuse disposal site, Ellendale, giving a couple acres of land on the northern end above the site for use as a water storage. So, I don't know. This is saying it was a refuse disposal site, this letter. It's the lease for the water farm.
Councillor Bailey, did you have a comment on that?
Anthony's got some, a bit more on that.
I've got some advice, Mayor, in terms of transfer of property from one owner to another and what entitlements flow from that. For instance, if someone gives permission for a shed to be built on their land by an existing property owner and the property transfers, that shed agreement is null and void. But I've also been advised that's not necessarily the case where water is concerned. That it triggers parts of law, common law, riparian rights, other obligations. There's two questions here, I think. First of all, we need to confirm that the agreement from the letter from the previous General Manager for Hamilton Council pertains to the land of which we are addressing. The second is the transfer of the water entitlement. What was the entitlement? How it all worked? I am advised that that could become quite expensive, that it's not a simple process, that there's a number of factors of law that need to be taken into account. We're looking at the potential of surveys. We're looking, we may need to do riparian rights. We might need to establish different titles. The quick response I got was, it's not worth a bloody headache of selling it. That it is a complicated part of law, riparian law, and it could cost us a lot of hassles. Because it's not straightforward. If it was black and white that it was that shed, that would be easy, but it's not. The water and riparian law could become more expensive than it's worth our trouble. And this council is really resolved to sell these blocks for some particular reason. If we want the money or we want them gone or they're a hassle, we may be better to put this just on the back burner, not pursue it any further, and then down the track if we decide to then seek a lot more advice. But it won't be a cheap exercise from my understanding in terms of confirming those matters.
Mayor, I have to agree with Councillor Archer. The only reason Council decided to sell the block that one person wrote to was Council interested in selling it.
Was that person the one worried about the warning box?
No. It was someone that lived in the Ellendale Township that said they've been approaching council for the past 20 years about purchasing this property. Council, I guess we sell it. There's too many. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've got what Cathy sent me saying where the old tip site is, but the bit, Swiss letters dated 1984 and gave them 2 acres of land on the northern side of the above site for to use as a water storage site was only for 20 years and would have expired anyway.
But there were further options, though. The option was to roll it over again or to purchase it.
I don't know.
Well, the letter says that. The letter says that's, you know, the expiring, you can have a further option for a similar period, or you can buy it at government valuation.
We don't know. Well, they obviously didn't buy it, and this is the only correspondence that the DES can find regarding that. So, I mean, the council could move to overturn that decision, to defend that decision if they wanted.
Well, I think you could, because you would be liable for the principle of estoppel, where someone has been entitled to use an asset, and as a utility, we can't take away from them without reasonable compensation and notice.
I mean, I'm talking about selling the land,
we'll hear
Councillor
Orr, Cassidy,
before. Lynn, is there any way Council can just offer that land to a particular person, or has it got to go through this system that anyone
can see?
The person who's getting the water off the land, he could buy it. I personally think that it's going to turn into too big.
It's all
too
big.
Too hard.
Yeah,
all
right. We'll
next hear Councillor Cassidy before we go. Sure. I'd like to remove motion that we overturn our previous decision to sell the land.
I'll second that.
Okay,
so
that was your comments before? Okay, we could have a motion. Can you
do
that,
Well, it'll be the following motion passed at the council meeting. The motion will be put in there.
Okay.
And should we put some statement in there about the water rights?
No.
Is there anyone against that motion?
Yeah, I know.
So to make it clear, this leaves as is the situation as is, does it? Are we clear on that?
Whatever that is.
Just leave it. Put it in 2 hours after.
Exactly.
Yeah, this was just.
Are we going to
just the concrete to each other?
Are we going to investigate further down the track? The fact where it
comes from. Yeah, yes, I'm sure. Well, no, still 2 hours.
Shall we move to the next item?
Good.
15.3, digital scoreboard bottle reading ground. Would you appear to have the honour to speak?
Jason who brought it up.
It's got to be advertised for this.
But Councillor Honour, did you say something about conflict or something? Was that
whether I needed to put in conflict because I'm the chairperson.
Well, this is actually only just talking about the bottle rig ground.
I don't see a problem with you participating in this.
No.
Okay. So the fees associated with application are as follows: assessment fee $250, advertising fee $310. It has been recommended the council remit the planning fees for this application. There is a recommendation that council remit the development application fee associated with the DA for digital scoreboard at the local recreation ground being $560 in total. Remove that.
Aye.
For a second.
Just a quick comment, Mayor.
Fight between you two.
Yeah,
me.
Where's your?
What was that?
For the recommendation.
What does it cost to advertise? Is that our charge, or does it cost us $300 to be advertised?
That's the mercury charge.
I'm happy to, there shouldn't be an assessment fee, but I don't know that we should be paying their cost to do the advertising.
It's got to go in the paper, the newspaper. That's the problem. Whatever they say is what it is.
Is there anyone against that recommendation? That is carried.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Do we have to advertise the mercury? I was thinking that maybe if we put it in Durham Valley Gazette.
Yeah, it'd be cheaper.
Circulating in the area.
Well, I was just thinking.
Good try. Save some money. 15.1, how do you, Graham?
Where was
it? 15.4, right?
Briefing report. Any questions? Do anything there, councillors?
Very well, we had dogs, right?
Yep.
Anything else for Graham? Well, thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks, councillors. That's
Works
and
Services.
Can I
move
it
going to the Works and Services?
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you.
Spoke up, Councillor Bailey.
Well
done.
Yeah. Should we defer it here until Jason's
present?
No,
I'll just go ahead.
Now, in front of you, you have the Works and Services. You can read this while we're waiting for Brian to come down. Jason, come in. And you can see there's quite a bit of reading there to do. Program for the next 4 weeks. Croker's Alley, Woodbridge, potholing and grading of municipal roads. Repair flood damage of municipal roads. Top. If you would like to speak to
I'm sorry.
Should not be in a meeting. Top up for areas of all parks, concrete slabs for Park City. And Jason's coming in to look at 16.1, which is a report on flood damage at Pelham Road. The introduction is following recent wet weather of several days on the 24th of October. Council's work manager is made aware by the Tasmanian Police of flood damage from a landslip suffered on Sherman Road. An inspection was made early Sunday morning by Council's work supervisor. Damage. The flood event caused following damage at Pelham Road. Approximately 480 metres of field road was covered with debris, large rocks, trees and mud. You will probably have photos there in front of you. Two was 480 metres of blocked drain. Three was fallen block culvert types. And do you have the photos in front of you? Just the cause of the flood? Yeah. Gone through 1, 2, 3 is the cause of the flood. After an on-site inspection, it was noted that a small dam approximately 1.6 kilometres north of Kevin Road had failed due to very heavy rainfall. Conclusions. My conclusion is that the heavy rain event and the failure of a dam that cascaded into a rush of debris down the mountain and out onto the Pelham Road, which blocked drains and culverts to cause the damage. An initial investigation was made on site by the Central Highlands Council Works Supervisor on Sunday, 24th of October, at which time the road was fully covered with debris, rocks, mud and trees. The road was then cleared by council to allow PAS networks to enter and restore power to poles that had been damaged. The road was then closed until Wednesday afternoon to allow council staff to clean the roadway. Works required to reinstate the roadway and drains have been completed. Remove rocks and gravel from culverts, sweep the road with mud and dirt, clean out drains, reinstate culvert in driveway, remove all rocks and trees from road surface. Culverts are working but will need a back truck to remove remaining gravel and pipes to remove the flow. Equipment and labour required. A 13-ton excavator 2 weeks, 5-ton excavator 1.5 weeks, 5-yard truck 2 weeks, wheel loader 1 week, backhoe 4 days, bobcat loader 2 for a day, waiver 3 persons for traffic control. I would just like to say thank you to Works and Services for the fantastic job they are giving, and for our supervisor who gave up his weekend to do his working on this. I think we're very fortunate to have such a good workforce, and I commend them. So this is for discussion, and Jason's on his way, I would hope. Councillor Archer.
Mayor, one thing that's been pointed out to me, yesterday I had a visit from the Department of Primary Industry. They're assessing damage to rural properties, particularly in the Clyde and Derwent Valleys. They've identified 90 sheep on one farm were lost as part of this event. Properties have reportedly had between $250 and $500,000 worth of damage to infrastructure as a result of this event. And I could go on, there's significant fencing loss damage to farming activities, crops lost, very, very significant losses. I'm wondering, my understanding is council may well be eligible for a dollar-for-dollar subsidy through application to the state government. I imagine many of you probably already made
noises about that. On that, and been in contact with them.
So. Thank you, and that we may be able to include damage to our bridges and all that sort of infrastructure as part of the unusual event. It's not a normal event, and apparently as farmers are eligible for assistance if it's declared to be a major event, and it's 50-50 funded by the feds and state government. An application has to go to the feds before state government will approve it, but they're saying within a week the committee has to have a report back to government on the extent of the damage and losses. And I'm not sure whether council has a role at this stage in making the community aware that this application is going forward. I don't know how we let, but basically it's been a word of mouth thing, just ringing people you think may have been affected. I'm just not sure. And I don't know how open the department would be to us putting the names of the contact people in the public domain.
Just mine, but Katrina, you need to give us an update on the bushes.
With Jason,
Councillor
Pleasant.
I was thinking that perhaps in conjunction with the work that Aaron's already doing, we could send a letter to the state government reinforcing the position that we need relief or require financial assistance.
So we need Aaron to give his update. Where is he? Yes. So we'll get an update today, and we'll call that one of those councillors.
My understanding is it's assessed by state and local department of Premier and Cabinet.
Okay. So we need the Deputy General Manager to give us an update. Councillor Cassidy, do you need to move the motion? Councillor Campbell?
Is there any, I'm not sure whose property it was on or where the property was, where the dam failed. Is there an insurance claim for that we can look at, or do they look at the landowner look at the dam failure?
I think that's something that Jason wanted to discuss with the public, because it was a private little water hole.
I'm just wondering how big it
was. We don't have any insurance for them.
No.
Or whether the landowner.
Where does the responsibility lie?
Well, where does it? It's up there, I reckon, when it comes down.
Where's the land?
Where's the land? For the last time, that's that month.
Good afternoon, Personal Service Manager. Come up here, please, Jason. First of all, thank you and Personal Services for all the work over the weekends and that to do with the floods.
Yep.
We appreciate it and commend you on that. We have been discussing in this fashion about the floods, and we've got to the point of speaking about the dam itself, of course, the issue.
Yep.
Whose responsibility is this lie?
I'm sure that's beyond me. I have no idea. That's something, if council wanted to be sure that they had to seek legal advice on, then I have no idea.
Does that go back to your motion, Councillor
Cassidy? All I can say is that it wasn't a newly constructed dam or anything. I'd say it's been there for probably 50, 60 years. It's not used for anything that I could see. Obviously it was, probably 1.6, 1.8 kilometres away from the road.
Is it a substantial size dam?
No, not really. Probably about 70 metres in diameter, I reckon. But obviously the elevation that was at, by the time the main engine that sort of would have accumulated by the time it got to the road, half of it took.
The marsh, that marsh catches that water. To that little hole, I mean, that's a fair area. But just the same, that little hole wouldn't cause the damage.
Councillor Cassidy, do you have a motion?
Oh, well, sure, I suggested that we write to the state government, but I think we should still hear from Adam and also Jason what the input they have and what Adam has already done with regard to that.
Okay, can we ask the Deputy General Manager to give us a report, please?
Only thing I've done is I contacted the DPAC, at an officer level, a low officer level, not a high officer level, only a low officer level, the person that I email and that we do our grants and send our grant information to, or anything regarding recovery or anything like that. So I've undertaken that, and I've said what forms we need to fill out, and I've got the form on my desk, and I'm waiting on a report from Ross, our engineer, and I'll send that through to DPAC. DPAC will then, I guess he'll send it to his manager. His manager will then decide he wants to send it to the minister. Then, if the minister's happy with it, then he'll send it to the premier. The premier will then send it to the prime minister and ask the prime minister to approve it. And after the rate of entry in Victoria and New South Wales in the last week, I think they'll be focusing on that and not our little rate of entry occurring in October.
I think that you should do
well. We just hear if Councillor Archie, do you have a question for the Deputy General Manager, or has he answered it?
It was just basically a comment that I was advised yesterday that it would help farmers' cases were council to put the application up in any event, that it's assessed by the Department of State Growth, and there is an application going up for assistance for the Clyde News Rivers from the Department of Prime Industry, but it would be helpful if council also made it clear that there's been substantial damage and it's outside the norm, but it's not just a normal rain event. That were pointed out to us yesterday, the whole pump sheds have gone under on the Clyde. Some of them there were only had 30 centimetres of roof showing, so that's not a normal flood event. And dams washed out, some farms lost 3 dams, 90 sheep were lost, $250,000 to $500,000 in terms of infrastructure. One farm has lost 100% of their emerging spring crops, all the poppies have died and all the canola's died. So there were substantial damages, roading lost. And council can see what's happened to our road. You can imagine the same thing's been done, and often the farm road doesn't have adequate culverts, that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of damage sustained.
Yeah. I'll quite spoken with the service manager regarding the event on the Bashan or up near Wormana. There's probably no claim there due to the fact that the work was undertaken during normal council business time, using normal council plan, using our normal wages. Therefore, that isn't part of our $15,000 that we spend. I believe we spent a little bit on contractors, but that would be under the $15,000 buffer, so I don't think we would send anything in for that one. Regarding the Bothwell event, the only issue I believe is in the Pelham with the landslip. I don't believe we got contractors in or anything that our cost would have been $15,000 that wasn't undertaken during normal work time, which we have to pay for, and there's no claim on it.
Okay, thank you, Adam. Councillor
Kennedy. I still think that it would the Hoof Castle and the residents of the municipality, we would stress that this natural disaster has gravely impacted us and we require assistance.
So, you're moving a motion now. What will that motion be, please?
That the Mayor write to the Department of Premier and Cabinet and State Growth, highlighting the recent flood events in the Central Highlands, and the council has had considerable losses, which is borne with its own resources, but supporting applications for community for assistance.
So that was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Archer?
Yes.
Yes, that's fine. Unless you want to move.
Did you get all that down? Okay. Those for the motion. Okay.
I think we've got to wear nature as it is. Well, we can't run to the taxpayer every time something happens to the municipality. That's why they want to amalgamate us.
No.
Graham and then Councillor Cawthorne. Sorry, Graham, for Wayne and Watts.
Through the Chair, with the event that happened with Pelham, and like Adam's saying, that you can't claim because it's only to a certain amount for the workers and machinery used for that. If you lodge a claim, that brings that to attention that that happened because of this event and you have to do such. But there's pending works that are required to be done, as in to stabilise all that, which is going to come into a significant amount of money. And if that's not done, damage will be caused to the infrastructure. Would that be advisable to put that in, that it may cover what needs to be done to prevent that?
That's a smart way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm waiting on an engineer report from Ross and the GA effect that went out there, because that's beyond me. I'm not an engineer, I can't determine. And if they believe it was due to the rain event and due to the lack of regrowth because of the fires the 2 years prior to that, and then the rain event has caused that, that is something that they'll have to, at a technical level, have to defend, not self. But I'm more than happy to put the application in while I do get a copy of that report, and that's what I'm waiting for.
Okay, Councillor Paul, thank you for waiting.
I just wonder whether we as council should investigate whether or not we could put an insurance claim against the owner of the property. If that property, if this happened and say the stand had flowed onto somebody else's property and possibly damaged the house or washed the driveway away, those people who own that property and stand it would take action against the owner of the land. And we're in the same situation. We're going to cop a huge bill for this. And looking after rate growth is something we should investigate.
What's your thoughts on that, gentlemen?
Well, you need to get a legal opinion, Mayor. We're talking about the dam issue at this stage. Yeah, now, we've got the other issue at Pelham where that is coming from another private landowner's property that's falling down onto our road. That's not.
It's been created by the weather and the amount of rain we've had. So, I think it's something we should investigate, quite honestly, whether it goes anywhere or not, it's no matter. But I think we need to do due diligence, we should investigate.
It's just sort of changing the subject slightly and turning like that, probably, but the old road back in the day used to be up there and it was closed. And then they put it around, it was like that thing. But I can't even remember any issues with when it was around that pit before we moved it back to where it originally was. But I wonder whether back in the Hamilton Council days, this would have been back 80 years ago, before they moved it, whether they were having too much trouble. Because ever since we put that road in, the road's actually good, but it just gets cut in, and the culverts fail, the actual road itself is good, but the culverts fail, the flood damage and all that, and I was just wondering whether that was the reason they moved it in the first place.
I'm led to believe the reason was that it was too steep. That was when I first did become a went on council, I can remember, and they reckoned it was too steep, so they went right down to the Hawley's Corner and cut the steepness out of that hill.
Ever since that bypass has been put in, we've never had no end of trouble.
Before I hit Councillor Bowen, Councillor Paul, would you again put a motion forward to seek legal advice?
I'm quite happy to put a motion forward that Councillor seeks legal advice with regard to putting in a claim against the owners of the properties that created the damage on the Tullamore.
Do I have a second for that? Back to you,
The first time I drove up that road, I thought, great job, but geez, that drain looks small. And I'd like to know who does the designs for the council. I know it's not council, who actually designed that road? Because I reckon the engineer that designed that road really should be the one sitting here saying, oh, well, we thought we made it good enough, but it's... I just don't think they took into account, like, the culvert pipes are too small, the drain's too small. Up further, much bigger, I noticed, because they've learnt from down there.
Are you saying some responsibility lies within the engineer?
I reckon that the road rather than... Well, the engineers pay a fortune, and they're supposed to get it right. And you say, why charge so much? And they say, because we have all this insurance.
Okay, Councillor Peppers.
So maybe more to Jim's point is, you know, rather than those property owners that have this one-off event in 9 years, maybe that's the real issue is engineering design was flawed. They didn't investigate the potential of, you know, these severe flood events. So perhaps we ought to be looking at bringing the engineer in here to account.
That event where the dam went over, if that was a gravel road, it would still be the same result.
I've got
lives
as big on the farm in smaller areas than that.
Some of the issues here, I think, like with all those flood events, we have the Bashan Road, which was a separate flood event, okay? So that's a separate flood event altogether that happened. That was the first event in the municipality. Mm-hmm. There was a substantial amount of rain, it's like a 1 in 50 year rain event to come down through the creek and washed out the road. That cost, I think, almost $40,000 to repair. Okay, under the natural disaster relief funding, we're unable to claim any of that because we can't claim a terminal plant hire or wages. There is a minimal plant hire that we've hired in that we probably could pay. Then you've got the Pelham Dam, the Buster. So, in regards to the engineer designing the road, I mean, that can't be dealt with, but then fail on someone else's property, you don't take that into account.
But they should have looked at the catchment, I would think.
Not 2 kilometres away, I disagree. That wouldn't be coming to the design of the road.
It should be for the water that's going to come down. Well,
it wouldn't. Yeah. Any engineer that designs any road would take that into. But I mean, obviously, when they design the road, they design it for a 1 in 20 year flood. They go to all the standards, they do all the hydraulics of all the catchment areas around, determine what size pipes are there. All that's done throughout the whole design. And I guarantee you, that engineer come here and went through all the specifications and the design. He could show you the hydraulics of the design of the road and the sizes of the pipes, and they would be correct. I can assure you that. Not a problem.
Okay.
The other issue that we've got down there at the moment is this land slip, which is another issue again. You know, I think most issues that have been caused down at Pelham have been due to the fire and that destroyed all the vegetation, and then we got all the land slips from that. The actual drains and the culverts could always take the volume of water that was there. It was just that they got blocked up from the material that was coming from the banks. It wasn't the issue with not being able to take it. They got blocked up because of the vegetation being burnt and all the soil from the land starts to slide and goes to the drains and blocks up the culverts. Yeah. I mean, even prior to the design of that road, I know the consultant engineer that we use as council, part of that design for that section of road, the initial deviation part, where the current land slip is. So this is the initial deviation that council either took. Council engaged a consultant engineer, part of that design. He also engaged a geologist to do a risk assessment on the potential rock falls of that area prior to that, and that was low at the time. You know, now that we've had this fire and the amount of rain, that's increased obviously. So, I believe that the appropriate channels have been applied all the way through the design process. I don't think that's an issue at all. I think we've been very unlucky in the way with nature and the bushfires and the rain. I mean, it's the same all over the municipality. You know, it's probably given us, as a council, seven weeks extra work, you know, and that's because, you know, culverts are blocked. I mean, last week, what the guys have spent a week and a half grading and resheeting is now destroyed again. Okay, so, you know, and we're just chasing our tails. I mean, we're not the only municipality that's copping it at the moment. You try and get a geotech engineer at the moment to look at this landscape, and they're looking at them all over the state. You know, I got a phone call from one of the guys this morning, and we've got another one that's happened down at Bowl Marsh. It's not to the extent of that, but it's just it's that wet. And I think definitely that all considerations, I mean, when they design a road, our consultant engineer designs a road, Bed designs it to the 1 in 20 year or 1 in 50 year, whatever it may be, I'm not even exactly up to it, and does everything that's required to design that road to that standard. So, there's a lot of issues out there with the rain events, but prior to the bushfires and all this rain, we never had a problem with Pelham.
So, Deputy General Manager's had his hand up for a long time.
I was just checking that it's my understanding there's been a long history with our consulting engineer, which is Ross Cummings, that Ross is actually covered by councils professionally generally, so that's my understanding, and that's why he does give us the rate he does give us, is that we're covering the insurance of his engineering advice, not his business. Is that my understanding? But the GA effect would have their own public-wide professional indemnity, so therefore we're not covering that. So yeah, we could go back to the GA effect, but I don't think we could go back to our own consulting engineer, because I believe the agreement is that we cover his professional
indemnity. Where do you believe that agreement come from? I mean, this is the first I've heard of it.
From the work manager. What the work manager has said.
I would imagine that the engineer would have his own cover.
Oh, if he's got his own cover, that's fine. That was my understanding. I haven't seen the contractor.
Where are we with this?
So, Madam Mayor, if I may, I just want to ask Jason if we could go back to page 19 of the agenda item for the conclusions. There's a whole lot of information now that we've got about the works required and equipment and labor required. So, and there, it's just for discussion, but we probably ought to have some kind of an idea of where you want us to go on this.
1641.
Yeah. So, I mean, more for information, I suppose.
So, when do you want actions?
We've done it.
You've already done it?
Yeah, we've repaired the damage. Okay, there's some more, there's a little bit to do, that's with the dam. I mean, we had to, the road was tight, we had to get on it. So that's repaired.
So we can thank Council for already completing that.
Yep.
Okay, 16.2 flood damage, we've sort of burned into there as well, haven't we?
Yeah, so that's the other flood event that occurred on the 30th of October, so we had numerous areas throughout the municipality that were subject to flooding. Majority of the roads were unsealed, so it's a matter of a grader and probably some gravel, resheet it and grade it back up. And culverts blocked. We had some damage to Green Valley Bridge, which now has been repaired. A couple of larger culverts, like 500 pipes that have been washed away, a little bit of seal, and these are all problems that were rectified and working through. But like I said, it's a cost that was unexpected to council, and you know, it's probably put 6 or 7 extra weeks worth on council.
So, just one last bite of the flood information. I had sent forward to Adam four photos, and those are only four of many that I had taken during the attachments or in the additional information. But you can see there that there was like a thatch of logs, debris. Flooded right up against that small single lane bridge, and you know what it does, it's kind of like a beaver dam, and because it prevents the water from flowing, it causes that water to back up. So, you know, I think that we really need to try to do something about all the willows and all the stuff that is along the Clyde River before it reaches that point. We need to start getting some of that stuff cut back and removed, so in future flood events it doesn't do the same thing and knock down all the fences. I was up on Mount Adelaide or Verico, whatever you want to call it, and taking the photographs from up there, and it was amazing the amount of water that had flooded. There was tractors and trailers that were under the water, and the guy was pulling his with another bigger tractor pulling it all out.
Yeah, I've seen some of the farmers working on
that. But I would say that the stormwater actually worked well.
I was just about to
ask. The stormwater upgrade and bottle worked well.
Yep, you could tell that.
We weren't sandbagging houses and none of the houses got flooded. The problem that did occur was in the top end of High Street where the upgrade hasn't occurred yet. So the actual stormwater system that was installed has worked well.
Still, the issue is the debris that is collected there at that bridge is creating a dam there. If we could get all those, especially the dead willows and the dead trees that are along Clyde to be removed.
That's how far do you go, I suppose, because they could come from Lake Crescent. It's the same as the Green Valley Bridge. There's a lot of debris up against that. That was the issue with that bridge, but that's a big issue to try and prevent. Right. They need to do the whole river, basically.
And that's not just the council issue then, is it? It's a...
So let's keep moving.
Councillor Campbell, do you have... No, I just wanted to say that it appeared that the town water, the town culverts worked well.
Very good. And Councillor Moore, I think, for
Jason Moore, not in this situation, but the Pelham Road, again, last Thursday. That's what Jim was talking about before. Yeah. But that's an unstable bank. Tell them about last Thursday.
Yeah, we'll get on to that.
Yeah. So you're covering it on this. That was the question.
No, I was just going to ask Jason, if I may. You indicated that you have 7 extra weeks of work to do. Knowing that it's intended to put a lot of your guys on holiday prior to Christmas, do you feel that it's necessary to put some casual staff on to benefit you over this period of time? Because apart from all the problem with the floods, you've got grass growing like it's never grown before.
Yeah.
Looking up, and you're struggling to keep up with that. And I'm not knocking you on.
No. I mean, yeah, seeking for assistance. Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean. We are very, very, very busy. The 6 or 7 weeks that work's commenced because we repaired fashion, we've repaired the dam break, we've got the land slip, all the other flood damage from, the 13th of October, that's ongoing. We'll slowly get there. So while we've been doing that, obviously our other municipal duties have been, getting behind because obviously, like I say, the grass is growing all around the town, roadside grain, spraying. There's numerous other jobs. The general manager, yes, I'm allowed to get casuals in. That's not a problem. I've been employed quite a few contractors over the last few weeks. So, and I will continue to do that up until probably after Christmas to help out the town mowing and our spraying, even the smaller jobs, that occur. We've got other jobs, there's been culverts, little culverts that washed away and things like that. So, yes, we're just getting contractors in.
As long as you're comfortable where you're at, that's fine.
And I suppose because of this situation, council needs to be aware that come budget time in the works department, there's going to be a blind. And because of the contractors that are getting to undertake our other duties, our boys have been concentrating on repairing the roads and doing the roads, but we're trying to get other contractors in to eliminate those other works. But yeah, it is very busy, but we will say a lot of contractors now undertaking our tasks normally.
Okay,
thank you. Jason, we spoke last year and also in our budget deliberations about getting assistance to help you with roadside verge mowing and things.
Yep.
Is that in your...
That's for next budget.
No, but now.
As
fire prevention goes, the time of the acting is today.
If we need assistance, we'll try and get a contractor in. Obviously, because it's the roadside slashing, everyone wants everyone at the same time.
Yes.
So, if you want to get someone, we may be successful, we may not be.
I just can't see how you've got a hope of catching up 7 weeks' work without bringing in resources.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. We will. I mean, we've done a lot of roadside spraying.
Yes, that's
very good. Yeah, so We're not going to get it all.
No.
We won't. You know, I mean, even smaller concerns that come in from ratepayers at the moment in regards to minor issues that are not a priority are probably getting put on the back burner just because we can't deal with it.
But okay. You can certainly have my support, and I imagine other councillors, so if you do need to get the resources to do the mowing in England in a timely fashion, then...
Yeah, I definitely will.
I think we're in for a very big fire season, potentially, when it does get dry.
Yes.
It's fuel and all.
Yep.
So can we move on to the Rockport Vellum, and you have the summary up to date there?
I'm sorry, because I just got this from the engineer last night. I just want to give a brief to council in regards to the situation at Pelham. This is not going to be an easy problem to repair. So we've got a landslip down there that's everyone's seen the photos. We've met with engineers and some geologists and meeting again with another geotech engineer tomorrow from a different firm. Everyone understands what's going to happen, but the logistics to be able to do it is where we're needing to come up with a methodology on how to loop the soil out of the water from this hill. Two things. The road can be closed up for 2 or 3 months yet. Yeah, and that's to be honest. Until the experts come up with how to do it, we won't
know. The road's closed.
The road's closed now. I closed the road. I didn't get around to informing council, so it was closed in a different fashion.
Yeah.
But originally there was a large rock that was on the face of the hill, and Barry and I were concerned with it, so we closed the road, and obviously it did fall. And then as we've investigated further, there's quite a lot more material that's going to fall and has fell. We're talking big volumes of material. It's steep, it's difficult to get machines in there. I've met with Andrew Walker Construction down there. Availability of contractors is another thing. I suppose out of this today, I would like permission that once the consultants come up with an idea on how we do the logistics of it, that I'm able to engage any water construction to undertake the works. They're a competent contractor, they've done a lot of works for council in the past. I've met with them on site. There's no possibility, well there is, I suppose, but it'd be very expensive to open up the old road, so we've looked at that. Obviously, it doesn't comply to any the GATT standards or any road designs. You've got such a steep invert, there's no guardrail, the road has actually started to slip itself, there's steep embankments with rock falls. I mean, that was the whole idea of putting a new road in. So that's not really the question, and I mean, no engineer will sign off to it. I'm sure council wouldn't want to take responsibility. It'd be one-way traffic sort of thing. You'd have to stop them. That's just very difficult if you spend the money to do that for a couple of months. I mean, the people that work at Brighton that live in the Pelham area, north above the road closure, I'm not quite sure how many there is, but that's probably an issue. But to travel from Pelham to New Norfolk or to Brighton is probably only a 10 to 10 minutes difference, so for banking and shopping and that sort of thing, it's not a grave concern there, I would have thought. We've got another meeting tomorrow with the consultants and also an explosives expert in regards to maybe trying to blow the material from the bank and then clean it up. And I would imagine that this is going to cost hundreds of thousands to repair. It's not going to be cheap. And like I say, until they actually work out the methodology of what they're going to do, we can't really tell you anymore at this stage.
Is there enough road reservation? Because you obviously have to put new embankment and blow the other one down.
you can't have a vertical, so it's got to go out. So is there enough road reservation?
That's
so you might have to buy some land.
I wouldn't imagine that. There wouldn't be enough room to put another bench in.
Yeah, put another bench in.
So there would be. But I'll say it's
still
that's very unstable.
So, Jason, are you wanting a motion from council to undertake works as needed?
Yes, please. I think, it's something that, and you can't go to tender for this because it's emergency works, and I don't think even the consultants can draw up a design to it. And I think doing a dual charge with a reputable, competent contractor that we know will be probably cheaper for council. It'll be a work in progress sort of thing. We're still going to be guided by the consultants in how we go about it. No works will be undertaken until we get that in writing.
Right. So then I'd like to just do a motion now that works and service manager undertake by the repairs to Colin Williams, the city's budget.
And second by Councillor Campbell. The other thing Jason has done now, there's no possibility of
having one line. Honestly, Mayor, I suppose council could take this to open up that old road, but you won't get an engineer to agree to open it. I can't say an engineer would allow it. Well, I know. Council could take the risk if someone was, if council was to do that, but I think, you've got very steep inverts. The quite severe drop-offs, one lane, and there's cracks in that road where the road starts to slip. And to repair them would be difficult as well. We've walked it 2 or 3 times.
So with that motion, could it read, under clause 7, exemptions of council's tendering and procurement policy, the works and services manager be authorised to organise remedial works to enable Pelham Road to be open to the public as soon as possible.
I think also, obviously, because of the closure for a long period of time, there are going to be concerns from residents. So, it's not caused by any doing of council. It's a nature thing. That's what we need to promote, I suppose. That is closed through the police website, police radio room. We're aware of the road closure. I'm in the process of notifying Ambulance Tasmania. I think as we know more, we can sit down with the mayor and draft up a letter and maybe send to those residents that are affected in the area, like Thomas Road and Pelham, completely informed. And we really don't know, obviously, until we get into it more,
Okay.
Going to just suggest, as an alternative to the letter, perhaps just put something in the Highland Digest on the council website about the Pelham Road and so
forth. It is already on the council website, not the council Facebook page. I've notified Hyde Road, because Hyde Road have a lot of employees that travel through there, so I've notified them as well.
Jason, you put bollards there that were filled up with water, and people, four-wheel drivers, are pushing them aside. Are you going to put some rocks or something to stop them?
We've put, actually yesterday, we put 3 lines of gravel there, then we've stopped it completely. Just the one area. But they can't get through.
Yeah, we don't want them going down that road anyway in case another rock
comes. We'll get the other end up as well.
So that stops them.
Yeah, all together, down the side.
That motion
they can still get out at the bottom.
So that motion from Councillor Cassidy and second by Councillor Campbell. Those for that motion? Is there anyone against? And do we need a motion for Jason, or might just write out Jason help me draft a letter to the residents around Pelham?
We need a motion.
And if Jason gets me a paragraph
in your column,
that might come out. work together on that, Councillor Archer?
Certainly mention that it should go in their letter to the Premier and State Growth. We're going to be up for a lot of money.
That's a lot. And let alone.
It's not the only road we're working on.
No, what the Deputy GM spoke about with the actual disaster relief, what you're able to claim is minimal for us, but even the Bashan Road flood damage, $40,000 that we didn't have earmarked or anything, and then we've got to fix that. Yeah. You know, that's a bit noisy. Yeah, and we can't claim for that.
No, exactly. So we need to
highlight that. And same with
hundreds of thousands of dollars additional costing
for the road.
And it's the same with all the roads around the place. Block culverts, $10,000 damage to Green Valley Bridge. Culvert washouts, it's a contractor coming in, repairing a culvert, putting more asphalt, more seal on, extra backhoe work, grade work, truck work that wasn't required. So all these things, just been very unfortunate and very out of luck. But I'm no doubt we're not the only real square that's all over the state. I know that, I've sandbagged the main street of Kent, it's just really, really, and it's all over Australia at the moment, but it's very difficult to manage, I suppose, and it's possible.
On another matter, Jason, I was lobbied this morning about Andrew Bridge, and I don't know if it's any worse than normal. What's the state of that in terms of flooding? Is it constantly flooded at the moment, or just on and off? Or?
Oh, that's been right up to the road now for 2 months, over 2 months, I suppose. The damage that's been any bridge structural damage, there's some small sections of seal that are washed away that will need to repair. But
should they be replaced with concrete going forward?
Oh, look, I suppose we need to see how many times it happens and what was spent on it, and is it worth doing that? I don't dispute with Councillor Cassidy that obviously a larger, wider span there would probably improve the flight.
The Department of Prime Industry at the moment are letting 550 megalitres a day average go out of Lake Crescent and Surreal.
Does it help?
The Riverclyde Trust is lobbying them to hold water in Crescent where there's plenty of capacity. Sorry, not Crescent, big fun, in Lake Surreal where there's plenty of capacity. They're saying, of course, the car program, while they want to get it down because it might go around the nets. They're saying put more nets in. They're wanting to release 10,000 megalitres of water over the next few weeks. To put that in perspective, the Riverclyde Trust this year, we estimate we will use 4,000. So it's in a wetting an average year, our maximum usage is 10,000 litres. So that's a whole year supply they're going to let down the next few weeks. And so we're doing all we can to encourage them to keep it there, but not on the mind to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. We'll move on to the... We will cover the script before we get on to the
other two.
The ground is soft. How much it's going to rough, I really don't know. But there will be rough, so there will be work to do to repair it. How much that will be, I can't say.
Do you need any more work?
Look, I mean, it'll be contracted out anyway, Councillor Cassidy, Councillors are more happy to have a look at it today if they wish, but we're working with Katrina. We're going to try and limit the heavy vehicles from going onto the football ground and put them on the outside. Afterwards, depending on the damage, I'm unsure if the ground will need to be closed for sporting activities until we can get it repaired. We need to bring in topsoil and we need to top dress any ruts. I mean, the first thing we'd do would put a roller over it and try and roll some of it. That doesn't actually fix everything altogether. So if there are deep ruts, not okay. Then, you know, top soldier to be brought in, top dress, roll, probably scarify, see those areas again. What the damage will be, I can't say. But by all means, people can have a look on there. You'll see some areas are softer than others.
So we welcome Katrina as well. We're just having an update on bush fest, and you might like to discuss, if it's so wet, what you'll build that site.
So we had a site meeting there yesterday, and we're just moving a lot of the heavier stuff to the dry spots on the ground, so we're just reshuffling sites and things like that. A lot of the people that will come Friday will be advised to park not on the ground, and we'll help them unpack and carry to their sites so that we can limit vehicle traffic on the ground. I think it's just our main issue, but yeah, I think everyone I've spoken so far are pretty
good. Yeah.
Okay. There's only one section that's quite bad, which will make sure adapts on the ground towards the back path, but
and Councillor Campbell, have we still got your paddock? Do we go to that still?
That's not our paddock, it's Rob Campbell's.
Yeah, that's where it was.
So is that top?
So I don't tell the truth.
Well, they were mowing it this morning, so I didn't get bogged, so I must fit with you.
There will be damage to what extent I can't say.
It's just quite soft. Any councillor questions, councillors?
Yeah, I had a look at that the other day, Jason. It's extremely soft. I mean, I went into a stick and you can just go bang, you just go straight in. You drove on there and you use something called butts at the. If we have a lot of vehicles on there, even if it's just cars and utes and so on and so forth, we're going to have a massive amount of damage on there, which is going to have to be rectified, which is going to be more cost to council. And not only that, it's going to be an inconvenience to the cricket club and possibly the football club and so on and so forth. Is there any way we can just not use the just use the outside areas and not the football ground itself?
The main heavy items that are coming are through vans, which we place closest to the entry points.
You could.
Try to keep
you it could. I suppose we could put them outside the background. I don't know if there's enough power or that's achievable.
If you have the white stuff, as Katrina said, on that shouldn't be a problem.
I've got my own way so far.
That's not bad.
So, but that's only one section of the ground. That's really difficult to say, but like I said, there will be damage, but how much and how deep that is. I mean, if you get on there with a vehicle that goes down like that, you're probably going to have to think, well, we need to probably put them on the outside. I don't know.
So how about we leave it to Katrina and Jason to make sure that we can...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Excellent. Pass it over to them.
And one thing for my knowledge, so yes.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
And the good thing is that there are a shortage of caravans and boats, so you don't have to deal with a lot of caravans and boats this year. Is that correct? There's not a lot.
There's no caravans coming.
No, a couple of boats. But yeah, there's not as much as there usually is.
And I need those. Okay, any other comments? Okay, thank you for that. Katrina and Jason. Jason. 16.3, the proposed roadside I've had comments about the location. Perhaps Councillor Ollman, you want to have a comment?
Yeah, the photo shows that it's going to be placed right on the corner of Mary Street and Patrick Street. So what happens when someone turns to walk in there and there's vehicles parked there? I think it's a safety issue there. It could be moved up further into Mary Street, away from the main road.
But So where are you saying that from?
Into the school.
In towards the school?
Yeah.
Around.
We can't go too far up into Barry Street just because it'll be a bit of a driveway from the adjacent property.
Yeah, if it went sort of right up to where they've got the gate.
Because
that way you could also turn around easily and that. Like, if they're going to be pulled up there on the corner, are they going to do U-turns and that in front of vehicles and...
It's like anywhere, you've got to bike along the road.
I know.
Yeah, but I think the traffic that will be there at any one time or at any stage will be minimal with cars. But, I mean, that was the school's proposal of where they were. So, I mean, we could go back to the school and see if they would like to move it closer to where you're speaking about.
Yeah, well, they've put a new fence up there for the hazelnut trees and that, and, like, there's room on that side.
So, closer to the entrance to the school.
Yes.
And whose property is that?
That's council.
That's council still.
Then we can move a motion if you would like. It's council property. You can move a motion to have it moved in a particular
place. Yeah, or both places it would be on council property.
So do you want to move a motion to have
that it get moved up further from Patrick Street?
So how do we get that application?
I suppose go back to the school and say that
I would like to find out if you think it's a wise idea to have a roadside library that would detract from the public library. I mean, don't we want more activity in the library that we have already? I mean, it doesn't get used enough.
These are the second-hand books, aren't they?
And this is a street library like this one down here.
Yeah,
this is a little street library.
For visitors and anyone to just go and borrow a book and swap it.
It's
different to a library. The library's only open 2 days a week.
Yeah, this is just a little street library.
I think they've got second hand books in the wish to exchange or people can borrow.
So, Councillor, I'm moving that. Second, you'll second it, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Cassidy, the wording of that, did you get anything on the wording of that, Janet? Yep, thank you. Those for that motion. Is there anyone against it? All good, that it carried. Thank you, Councillor Honour. Christian Martin Rose, Councillor, where is he? He's going to talk to that, of course. Councillor Bowden is leaving the room, is he?
Yep.
Okay. Good on you, Councillor Bowden. Councillor Archer.
Mayor, I read this letter with interest, and I rang the affected property owner, who is the Scott's son, Will. It's important we keep this at arm's length from council. I rang Will and asked him what his thoughts were. He said that they had not been approached by this gentleman. I don't know anything about him. I'm sure he's a fine fellow. They hadn't been approached, but what he did say was that their title extends to the center of the river, where this road would access it, and so he would need their consent. It were council to give him access anyway to access the river at that point of the river. All these rivers are quite different. The areas of Torres Strait, some of them have a riparian access where people can access them. In others, in fact, in our farm, we own to the centre of the river as well, and so there people need consent to be able to access them. Even if council gives this gentleman a key, he can't access the river. And Will asked me the question, why has he not asked us? And I said, well, I don't know anything about that, mate. You know, I can't tell you the person who's written the council, but I'd just like to know your views on has there been an approach. And he said, no, he hasn't been approached. In my own case, I believe that we set a bad precedent for council. I think that we should, in fact, suggest that this gentleman contact the relevant property owners, and then council won't be there having to hand keys out. If people contact the property owner direct, that solves the problem in two ways. First of all, they get access from the owner, and council's not there dealing with the keys the whole time. So I'm opposed to what's being proposed here.
So Councillor Bailey also wanted to speak to this, Christian Marsh.
Yeah, we've got quite a few roads and gates across. That's what we're talking about here. Yeah. And I think, personally, that's only me, but I think if we open one, we've got a lot of room for the other people. The other, I think we've got 10 or 11 of them, I think I counted last night. Oh. And if we open one, well, we're going to sort of open it unless the world, aren't we? We're going to, and there's not much we can do. If we open one, we've no good sign to Jimmy Orr, I know we're not opening yours, because we've already done one.
What?
I did. Or a thing like this, you know what I mean?
So I had spoken to the person that wished to mention about the liaison with the property owner, correct, and they said that they would like to just go through their private channels and deal with council.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but yeah. Wasn't I still speaking? Or, no. Yeah. Well, they should have went that way in the first place. They should have went to the property owner. In the first place, you'd think, if they wanted to go through their property.
That's right.
It is a public road. It's a council-owned public road, and everyone's aware that's got a gate on it, that it's illegal. You cannot put a gate across a public road. So,
no,
I mean,
that's actually not the case. I don't think you're correct there. The Nant Road, for instance, I lost a court case with council, and the Campbell family had locked that gate once every 7 years. But once they stopped locking the gate, the control of the road became council's. The land still remained the Campbell family's, or in our case, when we bought the land. But I got my backside kicked. Council flogged me because once the load of the road is vested in council, it becomes council.
We have had legal opinions on putting gates across. Council were turning a blind eye to that. But then you get the members of the public saying, well, it's a public road, we pay our rates, why can't we use it?
Councillor
Warren,
I
understand
the
you want to know who's going on the land, if we're transversing through the land.
If I might talk to the landowner and got permission of the landowner, then it's solved the problem. But he didn't want it.
He didn't want it. I said to him about contacting the landowner, but he said he'd like to go through to get permission from council, because it's public road.
Yeah.
As a landowner myself, whenever you have someone going on to your property, you need to know who is going on and when they're going on. And most of the time, if someone contacts you and says, can I walk through your property to go to the river, or can I walk through your property to do whatever they're doing, at all times you need them to contact you every single time they access your property, because you are liable for them if they fall over down a hole or trip over a log or whatever. So I truly feel that this person requesting access, even though it might be a public road, at some point they have to go onto private land, and that landowner, whoever that is, needs to be aware of people on their land. You personally might have organised a shoot or something, a roost. You could have people out there shooting rabbits or possums or whatever, and you don't know that there's some other random person wandering through your property. You need to know at all times who is on your property.
Okay, Councillor Borum, Councillor Meade,
correct me if I'm wrong, Councillor Archer, but did you say that although if this road was open, the gentleman concerned who wished to go fishing would not have access to the river.
Correct, that's right. So.
On that basis, surely we could write back to him and say, well, are you aware that you do not have access to the river? And access will be denied to you. And that may possibly...
That was talked about with the wetland inspection down there at the bridge site, and there was, you were there, I think, Jason, the, you know, the bridge from the other side of the river that
yes.
was green on it. And there was talk then about
yeah.
how far does the road go. I think you were a bit unsure with yourself about...
On our road list, says that it goes right to the river.
What you're saying is very valid, but I think to make it easy from the council's perspective, we just say our existing policy is that contact the owners, and that way we're not leaving a pen, you know, discussion backwards and forward, backwards and forward. What you're saying is quite correct.
The only problem is that the gentleman wishes to send it down to the council.
Exactly. Well, he can come on the application with us again. You know, I'm happy to move a motion here that council acknowledges the letter from Mr. Miles, and thanks him very much for his correspondence. But we suggest that, as per council's lockback policy, he contact the property owner and wishes to gain access to get the key from the property owner.
And that was moved by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Paul. Those for the motion. Is there anyone against the motion?
I have a question about this.
Sure. The motion's gone through.
I know, it's not necessarily against it, but Lynn has brought up a point that shouldn't we cover that as well? That should be, I mean, should we have some kind of a legal opinion expressed on this, because it's a public road, as you said. I mean,
had legal opinions over the years, Councillor.
On the mall.
On Lockgate.
We're not taking a stand on this, we're just basically telling the gentleman to go through the landowner.
Exactly.
Because
you imagine what a nightmare it would be for Jason, he really wants a key, he'll be coming
in. But because they can't gain access, because the property owner's title goes to the centre of the river.
Extent, well, it depends. It's probably basis to basis. But in this case, I'm told that the property owner owns the centre river rather than the riparian area. Some riparian areas give you access, others don't. It depends. It's an old title called, it's a common law title, but the more recent Torres title, for instance, when we purchased the Nant farm, some of that was subdivided, and that gave small areas of the farm public access, but they couldn't get to them because the areas that were on the old title basically were probably owned to the centre of the river. And it's an anomalous a bit of property law, I guess. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with either, but that's where we find ourselves. But I just think, you know, to make it easy from council's perspective, far better deal with the landowners. We're not chasing keys and hassling people and having rows with landowners with lit people in there and lit fires. Just make it easy for everyone and keep the existing policy where they need to contact landowners to get access.
Do we actually have a council policy on this?
So we've discussed this, we've had a motion go through.
Hmm.
Was there any, there was no against that motion, so it was carried. Council other than general manager. Who's writing to Mr. Rod Miller? Well, it's only the member of the council.
Well, council does, yeah. So the other council.
Council writes to Mr. Miller. Okay, 16.5 is vital service and rats backup. While this is a great idea, would you like to priority? Councillor Campbell, would you like to speak to this?
I have a suggestion on this one. I agree, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that I think possibly could get funded through, and it's too late for this financial year, for next year, as a grant application to the Goldwind Community Fund.
Yeah.
And a community group at Ouzel and Hamilton could apply for a grant to fund something like this. And I think that's exactly the sort of thing that those grants are sort of set up for.
So who would we get to investigate the possibility of grants?
there could be any sort of grant, but for next year when the Goldwyn grant application opens up again, they could apply for a grant, a community group at Ouse or Hamilton. I'm not sure which community group, but they could apply. I mean, it doesn't have to be, it could be the country club could apply for a grant on behalf of the children at Ouse and Hamilton to build a skate park. That's sort of the idea that I had in mind when I read about this.
I didn't think council could apply for grants under the around our property, so would it have to be a third party property? Or would we lease land for someone?
I mean, that's something that if there was a group that's interested, they could look into it, I guess.
So Adam was caught in the room or something like that, the okay?
Jason may know if the recording recommend cover that. I'm not sure. Usually, they're trying to promote women in sport. I guess that's their biggest one.
Yeah, diversity is a big one. I suppose for ticking all the criteria in sport and recreation.
Yep.
They can provide diversity.
So, could we get you to have a look at that out of the sport and recreation? Perhaps with Jason or someone?
Could
investigate
that. Someone might look at the Brighton and New Norfolk.
We should write to them and so acknowledge this good idea maybe what Anita suggested, they consider talking or developing a group of four to
get them to approach.
Yeah, well, that was you look at the one of the applications we had, and they've been to council, and I think councillors know this. I think I'm talking out of confidence, but Miami Community Centre, and they've put an application in to go through, and they've come to us all the time for money. And they're there, I mean, they can do the same thing at Ouse.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, we've got a federal election within the next 12 months. Maybe it's a priority of the council push our federal.
Let's investigate all that in there. Councillor Honour.
Katrina is the development officer. Maybe she can come up with something. She's pretty good on ideas like that. Just to commend him on the work.
He's
doing a great job.
And I think we recorded when we began the works and services.
Obviously the budgets are going to blow out, the contractors are going to come in with dirt load, and it's just...
You might have come back to us before this time.
Well, certain areas of budget.
We can't take it from there because that project has been. But little pieces of form.
Thanks very much, Jason. I wanted to thank Jason and his men.
Thanks, Jason.
Very good.
Okay, well, our short meeting has got quite a bit longer. We'll break for lunch and come back at 10:01.
We're breaking now, aren't we?
Yes, we do. We are.
Okay.
Thank you.
I asked the firm that did that analysis of our energy needs for us if they quoted on lighting. They said no, they don't. That Leggett generally used Mark White, who's a broker, to do that work for them. But they would be happy to quote on council's other energy needs. And at a fixed charge, the charge would be $75 NMI, which is per metre. But only if they save council money. If they can't save council money, there'd be no cost in any of the brokerage. So I think when we get our normal energy requirements for council, I'm sure we'll probably do it anyway then, but it's worth having a competitive process now. In our own cases of business, we've bought not the next 2 years' energy, but the 3 years after that, because we're already pre-booked it, and we were told it's actually less than the cost of production.
But this is for street lighting.
Just street lighting, that's right. Yeah. But this is rather, the fellow that I sought the quotes from, they don't quote on street lighting, but they'd be happy to quote on other council energy needs.
Thank you. Alrighty. So the recommendation that the general manager of the Office on Public Lighting Contract is successful as recommended by the Government, seconded by Councillor Ford. Those for the motion? Is there anyone against that motion? That is carried. 7.3, localised and community infrastructure program. Do you want to speak to this?
This is just ensuring that the general manager has authority to sign the deed.
Okay.
A little bit more than that. What they've done is they've sent the grant deed to all the councils, so we're entitled to $1,178,000. So we can sign that now, And then we've got to actually put a works program in to say what we're going to spend that money on. And we've got till the end of June to get that in. And it's got to be approved by them, and it can only be for certain things which put in your attachments.
So does that come out and involve out of these priorities, or
is that well, this is what we last money we got from them, we the two sections, phase one, phase two. So I've just sort of made a recommendation of Works and Services Manager recommend eligible projects for Council's priority list for consideration by Council at its January meeting. So, I mean, it's not much point in having a priority list if we're not going to look at it. So, and then he'll come back.
So, could we do that one? The lands thing?
No, I think you need to look at the skyline. And the community things, it's got to be things that the public can actually go into, like public toilets or parks and gardens. It can't be independent living rooms or... So it's very specific in the guidelines on what you can do.
Recommendations moved by Councillor Campbell, seconded by Councillor Bailey. That's all the recommendations. Is there anyone against the recommendation? That is Carolyn. Thank you. 17.4, workshop councils and reconciliation action. Just for discussion, if anybody has any discussion points.
And the program for Wednesday, the 24th of November, at Campbell County. And there is the councillors and leading council staff and all the team.
That's next week, isn't it?
Yes.
I think there's all things happening next week. Okay, 17.5, FPOS machine for Central Highlands District Centre, Mrs. Beth Poore, so that's if you would like Jim or sit back from the
table. I'll just sit back and not vote.
Okay.
No, I won't vote.
So, Councillor Poore sitting back from the table, not voting. Mrs. Beth Poore from Central Highlands Visitor Centre has asked if Council can provide a new Commonwealth Plan FPOS machine. The Central Highlands Visitor Centre is linked to Council's Plan account. Had a conversation with Councillor Honor, and she said it was quite necessary. Councillor Honor, is that correct?
Yeah, the one that's there, it's owned by Racco Farm.
Yeah.
Also, it's not a very up-to-date one, whereas the new ones you can use your phone on. You can't use a phone or anything on that one. And a lot of people nowadays do use their phones for their banking. So this one, you've actually got to put a card in or swipe it. So it is very old and outdated.
So Councillor, I wanted to move the motion to...
I will.
Councillor, I'm speaking to a chief.
Mayor, in terms of the, it says linking it to council's bank account. Normally, it would be a separate account for that within council's.
No, the visitor centre is under council.
Yes, I understand. So that for instance, in our own case, we've got a separate account for the deer enterprise. And so within council's own bank account, I'm sure Lynn's got this under control, that there would be just a separate one so that council's normal funding
would
be accessed.
There's not a separate bank account, but there's a separate general ledger number that receives from...
But they can't access council's funds?
No.
Yeah, yeah, it needs to be an arm's length.
So what would be the resolution for that, do you think?
So can I ask a question?
Yes.
So money goes from someone who attends a business centre to Racco Farm back to...
They have to write a cheque out.
Sorry?
The Golf Museum, which is a part of the visitor centre, they write a cheque out to the visitor centre, then the visitor centre take that round and bank it at the council.
Okay. If someone wants to buy something from the visitor centre, someone off the tourist, and they...
If they don't have their cash...
It goes to the Racco Farm account, and then Racco Farm is going to pay
put the money back into, that's what I'm asking. Put the money back into there, that's a Ponzi scheme.
It's going to make it much more effective.
That's what I
am. So it's a no-brainer.
The Councillor Honour was moving that the purchase of.
Yeah, so that needs its own decision. Exactly. Independent system.
Like at the moment,
the council organised for a less prosperous
The visitor centre, they don't, they buy stuff, but they do it on a purchase order through the council.
So council organised for the purchase of
Oh, you don't purchase it, you actually
Is there a bit of technology now rather than FPOS? One of my friends has got a store at Salamanca and he uses his phone to build FPOS stuff.
Yeah,
it's
much
cheaper.
I just bought a
square at
the weekend to use my phone from having a stall at Bushfest.
Yeah.
And they're just those little
box.
It's called a square and you hook it up to your bank and your phone and it Bluetooths. And so someone can come along and they put their, if they're paying for something, you put the amount on your phone and they tap the...
And there is no bank fees or charges on
it. There are charges with it. And this was much easier than me going to the bank because it was $60 to buy at Officeworks. I think going through the bank is a much better
system
for a government entity.
Right.
So can you Okay, can we get back on track a bit? So, Councillor Honour has moved the motion that a Commonwealth of Bank gets POS machine to send the Parliament's visitor centre. Is that correct? Councillor Honour. Moved by Councillor Honour, seconded by Councillor Bailey. Those four. Is there any against that? Is carried. Thank you. 17.6 customer service. Anything there?
No.
The spelling's not right for customer.
I thought it was a little different. Very different. Adam, speak.
Good. No. Needs a memory.
I'll just put a little cap on top of that. You.
record of the test.
The council. Approved policy number 2422, Captain Service Captain, moved by Councillor Honour, second Councillor Cassidy, four, against, and is carried.
How does Graham feel about all that? Well, after all the trouble he had with that fellow.
Exactly. 7947 is the policy for donations and financial assistance policy, mover please. Councillor Ford, seconder. Councillor Allwright, four, against. Councillor Bruce, policy donations and financial assistance. 17.8, record management policy. The council approved policy number 2437, record management policy. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Campbell, four.
In terms of the records policy, then, does it give us good detail so that should one of our key staff leave or pass away? Does the records policy help us with our corporate memory? Like, is there a good record? I'm very concerned about that. We've got so many senior staff.
A lot of details. It is really good. So, like, for training purposes. If you wanted to bring up a junior staff member, it would be the way to go.
Councillor
Cassidy. Yes, sir, of course, Adam. Regarding the records management policy, any time you send out a letter or communication to anybody, do you actually have a reference number? And is that reference number recorded somewhere that you can always go back to it? Speaking to them is corporate memory.
It is within the record system, the magic system. Yes, there is a unique number, so, which all systems don't use.
Thank you.
Okay. 7.9 Fire Services Act review. Council should review the respective document, which includes local government association of Tasmania comment, and provides comments back to the Deputy General Manager by Wednesday, 24th November 2021. 2021. Council comments will be provided to local government association of Tasmania or input into the sectorial response by paper. The recommendation is that comments on the Fire Services Act review papers be forwarded to the Deputy General Manager on Wednesday 24th of November. I move it. Councillor Allwright, Councillor Honour, against, carried. 17, Health Action 2 Central Highlands Community Grant Application. This is the one Councillor Honour said she wouldn't sit back at, is it?
I'll sit back. Can I just speak to it before I sit back?
Yes, you can.
Is that okay? I acknowledge that I think there's a limit of $2,000 for community grants, is that correct?
Yeah.
Is that? And the total project cost is $1,000. And they've asked for quite a large contribution. I acknowledge that I'm the chair of Hatch, but I do wonder, because it's actually at a council-owned property, does it need to be a grant or can it just be fence that's erected because it's required? I don't know. I just was thinking outside the square how that works.
It could be a grant to the association and then come back as an asset for the council, I guess.
It all comes out.
It seems like a good project. It is above what our community grant applications are, but I guess it's a benefit. It's working towards our health and wellbeing plan. It's been very supportive of. There's a number of...
And the playgroup projects, both at Lewis and Bothwell, are very successful.
Well, being a safety event, I think that's the words that we need to keep in mind.
So, do they have... Tracy must have some of her own money to sort of put towards that.
They got from another
group. Yeah. Or another group.
So what are you saying there?
Whatever money they've got.
To use,
and then what do we pay the rest?
It's the council recommendation.
The same cost $5,700 and $2,200.
So they're only asking for 35, aren't they?
So that's like the
3.5. So that's
all the recommendation
then. Just the 3.5 fall in our limit?
Councillor Paul?
My intention was to move a motion that we, as council, donate $3,500 to...
I'll second that.
Councillor Wright wanted to move it, so...
I'll second that.
So, it's moved by Councillor Wright, second by Councillor Paul, that the council approve the community grant application to Hatch and provide a donation of $3,500 to the safety fence and gate for the children's play area and cottage booze. Those four are the recommendations. Is there anyone against?
I'll abstain from voting.
And Councillor Council, before you gave the draft letter, Councillor Archer and the General Manager, I were ready to send that off, but then the floods happened, so we haven't done anything in this stage.
Oh, I see.
If there's any changes.
I'm just wondering there whether in the community program for resilience, would this be something that might be eligible for that? Would this be a resilience building program looking at flood mitigation?
I don't know
whether we get a grant for that. Well, it's up to 1.5 million, isn't it? That's our next topic on the agenda. 150 mil. We're round one, we're preparing Australian communities.
Is that possible with a fix on council areas out, Adam?
Like, you could put in for it, it's really about building your community. You could argue that a flood study, is part of. Making it more resilient in the community, passing on more information.
could argue. Don't know. Yeah, I'm just thinking that we just need to keep it ticking away at getting in people's minds. And when Adam was doing the preparation for us, we were looking at ooze as well as the Clydes, of ewes and the Clyde rivers. And I'm wondering, Adam, if we should try and build up an ooze one as well to put forward. So there's a couple of those two rivers that we are told by the Bureau of Meteorology to fall outside their normal river response period.
I think with this grant application, there are certain areas that are picked out again, like we got picked out for the bushfire. I think Dillon Valley and this Triple Check Money Council that have been picked out. And they get a head start on the funds because they get, you've got to be at this 100%, they get 20% for just being mentioned
right in
the end. So,
and how do we fall into that camp? Lobbying, making a
we got up. We fell in the last slot.
For discussion, I think what you're already doing there in terms of just letting the Premier know, perhaps we should add that just in the letter to the Premier that we've also requested and haven't been successful in seeking grant applications to do these flood mitigation studies on the Clyde and Ewes rivers, and we're hoping that the state government would consider that in their budget.
So we can add that.
Chance nil, but you can ask a question.
It's a great photo, Councillor
Hazard. That's right. That's quite aware of the. this is a former home of.
It's the rectory.
Yes. And Charles Gossage, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Reedsfield. But anyway, this house was completely surrounded by waters. The neighboring property, so to the south of it, there were as well, or southwest of it. And it was just phenomenal, the amount of water that was surrounding this house. So I think it's incumbent upon Council for us to come up with some method or mitigation strategy to prevent or protect property. Basically, I think the council has got an obligation to look after its residents and ratepayers.
I was just going to give people a bit of history. In the mid 80s, my late father-in-law got in a rowboat and rowed from Rothermay to that house and rescued the minister and his family. And the floods were up higher than that.
Mm. Yes.
We went completely under the 1960 flood. Yeah.
I remember that.
So, you know,
and all the police station, all those houses, they were.
And a flying fox, the Shore Street and all those people went to the street to go across to get groceries.
A friend of mine's parents, one was on the other one side of that, and I forget who, Robin, Helen, Terry, was it? So
Wentworth.
She had to go across so they could get married or something.
They were in Wentworth House.
Good on them. Okay, we're with that. Thank you, Councillor Cassidy, for that information. 17.12, program discussion. Adam, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, I'll have a look at the guidelines and see if we can include the study for the local in that. If we can try to move it around a little bit, we might not be able to go for the whole 300,000, but we might be able to do the mapping or something like that that might be beneficial. I don't think we could probably do the costing study a little bit. I think that would be part of flood mitigation.
I don't think we even need the cost benefit study, to be honest, at this stage. Mainly it's just find out what it would cost.
So, leave as is. Yep, move on. 17.13, draft NRM South Strategy. recommendation and comments on the draft NRM cell strategy are to be forwarded to the Deputy General Manager on Wednesday the 17th. That will be tomorrow.
Yes, very shortly.
So please send in your comments. Put out a move, please.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to go to Bailey. Okay. Yeah. Australia Day event. The interpreter has suggested that this be held at Popple. Well, not quite the way. I did suggest Popple, but what I was saying is in the past we've had, like, I think we went Hamilton, Devondale, Ooze. Part of that, I think, was Popple swimming pool area. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple of reasons I thought of Popple. Was if it was possible, it might draw people to the swimming pool. They're having trouble getting people more input at the swimming pool bubble. But in talking about that, Councillor, I have a suggestion. Mm-hmm. Would you like to share
that? Why not combine it with the opening and that to get together, meeting, picnic, and family community event at Bronte Park?
At Bronte Park?
Yeah.
What's the
thought?
Bronte.
Yeah, because we're going to open the barbecue area and that there. Why can't we combine it into one?
Yeah, if it's
going to
be at Bronte Park, why not
open
at Bronte Park?
I think it's a good idea.
Mm. I think it's a good idea. Yeah. It may not give very much attendance, though, because it's so out of the way.
Might surprise us, though.
Because there's so much on that we're doing, like to have the Australian Award and the Bronte Park one, just combine it.
So would you like to put a motion forward with that, Councillor, and I'll get the support of the table, hopefully?
Yeah. That Council have the Australia Day event 2022 combined with the opening get-together at Bronte Park picnic area.
That's a car. We've still got to have it on the Wednesday, Friday night, not 26.
Yeah, but we can't. But we haven't chosen a date for the Bronte Park opening.
Can we have in the motion that Adam takes his coffee machine? No, there might be enough.
Actually, thinking about transport and people, we should offer some sort of transport for the people in the units and that. How are we going to do that?
Look, it does depend on the COVID restrictions on how many need to get on a bus.
Yeah.
So I'll be coming the other way.
We don't take people to other events, though.
Mm. We don't, but it's not as elegant as the way. We're sort of stuck in a little bit of a rut there.
You know, there'd be enough private cars.
Well, Tracy would be kind enough to help with the community. Those vehicles they've got sitting there outside.
That's not Tracy's jurisdiction there. That's THS, that's
THS.
Nancy in the health centre's jurisdiction.
Mm. And it's probably something that could be discussed with them.
Mm.
Because I know.
But it will depend on the COVID restrictions on how many. School bus situation is different to normal buses.
I know, yeah.
It'll depend.
Hopefully it'll be open.
And that's another thing.
That's something
on a railway that's organised. Any transport through the bus homes?
Probably, yeah. But it'll be coming from my ear end.
Yeah.
Because we'll be on holiday then.
It can take a little community.
Yeah,
it'll take a bus. Yeah. And we'll be from Bothwood, bring one through. He's got one.
Who's that?
Ian Whittaker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He made from Bothwell End.
Thoughts, Councillor?
Do we need to do it now, or do we have, like we normally do, an Australia Day meeting, or
we're supposed to have an Australia Day meeting?
So
Supposedly, but I don't see that we have a problem with fallow deer here in Tasmania. you may laugh, but I come from a country that has lots of deer. That they're so plentiful that you end up running into them with a vehicle. But it's not a problem here.
It is.
Have you run into them? Have you run over a deer?
Yeah. We have a friend. Can I just tell you, a friend of ours has got a shack on the water at Tryabunna, and a deer came running down through their garden and ran onto the beach. They are everywhere.
So did it crack his windshield? Did it end up in his lap?
Yes,
did it cause it death?
To us. Yes.
I've never seen that. It hasn't even been in the newspaper. So I don't see it being a problem, actually.
I'm not even one.
I'll do the recommendation.
The recommendation.
Too hard to buy.
Okay. The recommendation was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Campbell. For the recommendation? Is there anyone against it? Councillor Cassidy is against.
Metis is on the side. I think I saw in the Mercury on the weekend at this meeting is at the Bothwell.
I think it's next Monday night.
Okay, it's a meeting next Monday night. We think it's Bothwell.
I think it's on
the weekend.
And who's that meeting with? The
Tapiwa, I think.
Tapiwa?
Game Services Unit.
Is it next Monday?
I don't know the answer to that.
Next week
sometime. Okay. Last time Bob Brown had a good bit to say.
Alrighty, 7 and 6-7, request Hamilton District Agricultural Society the recommendation of council give permission for the Hamilton Show Committee to hold a clay target stand in 2022 Hamilton Show subject to the following. The show committee having all relevant insurances. The committee considers buffer zones for animals and
we're
the committee complies with all relevant legal requirements. I thought we had this done before.
Yeah, no, we do it
here. Oh, well. Councillor Bailey moves.
Second.
Councillor Ford second. Four. Against. Carried. I thought it was a bit familiar. 1717. Bronte Park Community Get Together Meeting, Picnic and Family Area Community Event to officially open the site. The project was blah blah blah. Who will have to know that?
26th of January.
It'll look before. We've kind of organised that. Day is the 26th of January.
It's
Wednesday. It's
a Wednesday. On Wednesday, the 26th of January. Hope you do. Now, we've had the motor and everything for that, so we've gone through there. 7 and 8 is the East Community Country Club Community Grant application. Councillor Bailey's been in the room for that one.
Yes, yeah, so we've received the application from the East Country Club. No,
what's that?
It's in the attachments. For the kids' Christmas, it's a thing that's been run for a number of years.
No, this is different. This one is not being run by the two that always run, two people, Lee from the hotel and Brent McDonald. This is a different group. I would like to know who is the executive now of the country club. I would like to know the executive. I would like to know a little bit more about the country club because it has changed hands and there is a lot of conflict within the community and the country club. Councillor Paul.
I don't know how many people are anticipating going to be there, but for $3,700, what are they going to provide? Now, I think that's an exorbitant amount of money, and I would like some information as to how that $3,700 was arrived at.
I certainly support what you're saying. So, how
can we go about that? Do we request the country club to supply a breakdown of their costs prior to council making a decision on providing a grant.
Move
to
Councillor
Ford,
second. Is that you, Councillor Campbell, second? Councillor Campbell?
Yep.
I support that motion.
The trouble is, they're going to get back to us till they want to do it. So that's the problem with that motion.
They're asking for $1,000. As I said, it's changed, and I'm hearing it might be the same as normal. I won't elaborate on that. The motion moved by Councillor Ford, second by Councillor Campbell, request that the community golf, what is it, golf, provide
that would be the golf
more information.
Suggest we give them $500. They're only asking for $1,000. We offer them $500.
Do you want to put that in the motion, Councillor Paul?
Yeah, let's just offer them $500 and I'll put that motion forward.
Yes, Campbell?
I'm happy to give her $500.
$500. For the Christmas Eve.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
So I call the motion. Is there any against the motion? That is passed. Carry on. I don't deny the person who is blind, but it is the figure. Yeah, I don't know. Annual school presentations, awards. We had one for the Glenora, and that's an meeting official back there. High school event, Bob will be invited to meet the Councillor Honour. In Norfolk, I have no idea whether they're having anyone there or not. Do you know the Councillor Giraffe? Well, did you have
No, I didn't ask you.
Or about, you know, you didn't go. Are there any councillors interested in putting their hand up if invitations come in? Because now it's a chance to look at it. All right, we'll play the way
it is.
So we'll just go by seeing how that pans out. If the council's invited, we obviously they attend. Council consider the matters of the supplementary agenda. We've already done that through dying in, as he was here. That was the 8.1. Is there any other discussions, future agenda items of interest? No. Very good. Don't forget that the next meeting is the 7th of December. Thank you, Councillors. Okay. I'll close the meeting.